Well, listen, I have to say thank you so much. I think we can all agree they have indeed been my fabulous Friday panel. Atul Hatwell from Labour Uncut and Richard Tice of Leave Means Leave. Gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us. I hope you'll return again to talk about the week's biggest news stories in another week, perhaps not so election dominated. Coming up now, of course, the wonderful Mr. Tommy Boyd. What's on your show today then?
There's a story coming out from abroad about beef eating being banned in a criminal offence in a southern Indian state. So I think the whole thing, vegetarians versus meat eaters, is going to come to a head. So we're going to ask who's going to win.
Yeah, that comes to a head in my house quite a lot, but we just don't let the veggies in.
You'd think the carnivores would have it over the veggies, but actually, looking at the stats, I'd back the veggies. Second hour, we don't know because they're keeping it from me. It's in an envelope, and I don't get to know what the second hour.
I think that's the best way. Well, I think most of my listeners can tell, that I have no idea what's coming up on my show either. John, of course, John Holmes, back on Monday, getting a bit of a respite from the kids on halftime. Time's 12:58. It's heading towards the weekend, folks. So Tommy Boyd back here for you, 1 o'clock, just after the news. This is Talk Radio. Have a great weekend.
Election 2017. Join the conversation party.
Yes, of course, at once.
Talk Radio.
Hey Lego Batman, did you know that you can join Sky TV from £22 a month and enjoy big screen drama exclusively on Sky Atlantic?
Go on, I'm listening.
And you'll still get all your Freeview favourites.
Oh, I love it, keep going.
What's more, new and existing Sky TV customers can also add the UK's lowest price fibre for £20 a month for 18 months, including line rental. And the total setup fee is £39.95.
That's a pretty sweet deal.
It is, isn't it? Search Sky Bundles. Sky. Believe in better. Lowest price over 18 months. New 18-month contracts. Sky fibre areas only. 25 gig usage cap. Terms apply.
Ah, yes. Ooh. Mrs. Wren says she's had a Midsummer Night's Dream. She dreamt that in June, all Wren kitchens are half price, with an extra 20% off. And a Neff dishwasher for just £179 when you buy five or more units. Ah. But then she woke up. And it was all true! All's well that ends well, eh, Mrs. Wren? So, fly down to your nearest branch of Wren Kitchens.
Integrated touchscreen navigation saves you getting lost.
You have reached your destination.
Hands-free keycard saves you fumbling around when your hands are full. Automatic climate control saves you overheating this summer. And now save £750 on the list price on selected Renault Captur stock when you take a test drive plus 20% off accessory packs. Features available on Dynamique Nav, subject to availability. Order and register by 30th of June. Retail customers only. Participating dealers only. T's and C's apply. See renault.co.uk/offers.
Across the UK, online and on DAB. Access all radios.
Talk Radio. Give it some lip. Talk Radio.
1 o'clock, let's get the news from Victoria Bourne.
Thanks, Tommy. Coming up, developments in Arena probe. Trump criticised over climate, and Heath Ledger's father calls for action on prescription drugs.
Talk Radio.
Police in Manchester say they found a car which could be significant to the Arena bombing investigation. Several properties have also been evacuated near to where it was discovered. It comes as people trying to resell tickets for Sunday's charity gig for victims have been condemned. One eBay seller tried to make more than £1,000 profit from selling four tickets before the listing was removed. Annabella Koldrick, the chief executive of the Music Managers Forum, has told Talk Radio it's right that touts aren't allowed to operate.
The resale sites, which on previous occasions have allowed tickets like Teenage Cancer Trust tickets to be resold, in this occasion they're not allowing that. And it's really good news that Viagogo and Get Me In and Seatwave and all the others are accepting that, particularly because this is such an important charity benefit concert, that it should not be one where people profit.
World leaders have pledged to defend the Paris Climate Change Agreement without the help of the US president. Donald Trump's pulled out of the international deal to cut carbon emissions, saying it's to protect Americans. Climate change skeptic Lord Nigel Lawson has told Talk Radio countries like China and India are ignoring the agreement anyway.
They signed up to it because it is not legally binding, so they don't have to take a blind bit of notice of it, and they're not. They're going ahead increasing their coal-fired power station capacity hand over fist.
A Conservative candidate's due in court next month, charged over his campaign expenses in the 2015 general election. Craig McKinley's standing for re-election in South Thanet next week. The Tories say they believe the allegation is unfounded. Dozens have died in what police say was a botched casino robbery in the Philippines. The gunman set himself on fire after the raid in Manila. And Heath Ledger's father wants there to be greater monitoring of prescription medicines to tackle what he says is a world problem of addiction to such drugs. The actor died aged 28 in 2008 after taking an accidental overdose.
Talk Radio National Weather.
Sunshine and showers this afternoon. Hot in London and the southeast with a chance of some thundery downpours. Highs of 26 degrees.
Talk Radio Sports Update.
I'm Ben Fletcher. Good afternoon. Former Arsenal captain Tony Adams doesn't think the current squad will win the Premier League in the next 2 years under Arsene Wenger. The Gunners boss extended his 21-year stay at the club for a further two after signing a new deal. Four-time title winner with Arsenal, Adams thinks it'll be some time before the squad can challenge for the title.
The league doesn't lie. You know, they've come fifth this year and they have to have some extra recruits, I think, in the summer to go forward. I think your cup games are very different. You can do it for a one-off, but over the course of the season, they've been found wanting. And will that improve in the next 2 years? I'm not sure. I don't think it will.
On to cricket. England all-rounder Chris Wokes has been ruled out of the Champions Trophy with a side strain. The ECB will apply for a replacement, though nobody's been called up just yet. It's the turn of the other sides in Group A this afternoon, with New Zealand batting first against Australia at Edgbaston. It's live on TalkSport 2. Before rain stopped play, the Kiwis were 67 for 1 after 9.3 overs. That's the latest sports news powered by TalkSport.
Talk Radio.
Have you seen my keys anywhere?
Are they in the dining room?
Nope.
Library?
Nope.
Indoor pool?
Nope.
Outdoor pool?
Nope.
Tennis courts?
Ah,
nicer problems to have.
This Friday, there's a £131 million jackpot. And two guaranteed UK millionaires. EuroMillions. Only from the National Lottery. Estimated jackpot. Rules and procedures apply. Players must be 16 or over.
Across the UK. Online and on DAB.
Tommy.
The Tommy Boyd Radio Experiment. For those about to talk, we salute you.
Tommy Boyd on Talk Radio.
Yeah, a very interesting story coming out of India, which is they've got a politician there in the southern state of Kerala who has announced that he is returning to eating meat, fish and eggs after being a diehard vegetarian for nearly 20 years. Kerala's federal government is formed of the BJP party in India, and they have a huge majority who are Hindu. And Hindus are very protective of cattle and cows. And bottom line, basically, in plain English, they're trying to ban people from eating beef in this state. He says, "I've been living without eating meat, fish or eggs since 1998, but now the time has come to break it and uphold the right politics of food assertively. The ruling party believes that cows should be protected because they are considered holy by India's majority Hindu population. Some 18 Indian states have already banned the slaughter of cattle, but millions of Indians, including Dalits, who we used to refer to wrongly, sadly, as the untouchables, you may remember, Muslims and Christians, they all consume beef, and say many, there's no outrage against the fact that male calves are routinely sold by Hindu farmers for slaughter because male cattle in India are of no use now that tractors have arrived to the southern states. Now, listen, I'll tell you how serious this story is. 2 years ago, in this part of the world, a man was lynched. A man was murdered in his own backyard in front of his family because a mob suspected that he'd been eating beef. We're in the 21st century and a man is hanged by a mob because they suspected that he'd been eating beef. And the interesting thing is that the ruling party of India, a spokesperson for the ruling party of India, said you should never attack somebody merely because you suspect something, which the opposition party said, well, are you saying then that if he had been proven to have been eating beef, it would have been OK what they did to him? So it's a hugely serious schism in one part of the world. But the question we're going to address on Talk Radio this afternoon between 1 and 2 o'clock. Hi, I'm Tommy Boyd, in for John Holmes. Is this, how soon is it going to be civil war in this fair land between vegetarians and meat eaters? Because it's coming. You can see it coming over the hill. Man has been in conflict since farmers arrived. Every war that's taken place on planet Earth to date has been because of farmers. We used to be a wandering tribe, human beings. We used to go where the seeds were or where we might be able to pick up some cockle shells on the beach. We were nomads. We wandered. We were hunter-gatherers. And then some clever human beings discovered that if you took the seeds from these plants that they were eating and put them in the ground and watered them, then you could actually control the production of food. But along with that went the idea that this bit of planet Earth belongs to me. And so they would set up camp around the bit of planet Earth that they had cultivated. They became people who wanted to keep land to themselves and then wanted a bit more on top. So they had their eyes on the bit of land that another tribe was cultivating just the other side of that cave. And now you can see easily, can't you, that all the wars that humanity has been subjected to have been over land, and all because of the intellectual legacy that farmers have left us with, which is that this bit of land is mine, that bit of land, you think it's yours, well, just you wait, brother, because here I come. But the next conflict that we may see in this country, Brit versus Brit, it won't be roundheads versus cavaliers over who rules. It will be vegetarians versus meat eaters over what we eat. Let's just find out, first of all, where the battle lines are drawn in the afternoon show right now by asking Cornelius, vegetarian?
No, I'm not. No.
Michael?
No.
No. Chloe?
Pescatarian.
It's a no. That's a no.
I don't eat meat. I eat fish.
You eat fish. Okay, that's cool. I didn't know I had a name. Thank you. Pescatarian?
Pescatarian.
Pescatarian. Oh, right, Pisces. Got you. Okay. You don't eat anybody who was born in March. That's a thought, isn't it? Anyway, and finally, Scarlett. Vegetarian?
No.
No. Okay. I have been vegetarian. I had 12 years as an absolute vegetarian Nazi. I would check out what people's shoes were made of. I would go hunting for anybody who thought they were a vegetarian if they were drinking a Bloody Mary. You know why you can't drink a Bloody Mary if you're a vegetarian?
No.
Essence of anchovy in Liam Perrins. Ha-ha! Gotcha. It was hard work, I found, being a vegetarian.
Hmm.
But I was slim, I was fit. I had a vegetarian girlfriend and it was the only way. You know,
we get it.
You go get it, don't you? I have stats about that. 43% of men who are vegetarian because... for sex. We know that they sneak a McDonald's on their way home, don't we? And then have to suck a Tic Tac.
Or a few.
A few, yes. It's a sort of modern equivalent, isn't it, of pouring lighter fuel on your jeans so that they don't smell of her perfume when you get home. Anyway, so... that's what we're discussing in this hour of the programme, along with all the other usual bits and pieces. I've explained how serious this problem can become because there's been bloodshed in India over vegetarianism versus meat-eating. So the bottom line, as far as I'm concerned, is not will there be a civil war between vegetarians and meat-eaters.
Well, you're convinced.
I think it's certain. It's on the writing's on the wall. You can just see it coming a mile off. Battle lines are being drawn. The question is, who's going to win?
Right.
And I'm going to go around the room, but I reckon everybody's money will be on the meat eaters. I don't want to spoil my argument, but Cornelius...
I'd argue that, of course.
You back the meat eaters. Because personal interest or because you can just see them winning?
Well, no, there's just sort of lots of stereotypes about vegetarians not having enough energy to put their hands up and stuff like that. So, but I think there must be a true element to that, for that stereotype to exist. So... I think it would be a lot harder to survive.
See, I think the opposite, because I think if they did go to war, it'll be easier to live off the land, berries, foraging, growing stuff, than it would be to keep cows, pigs, sheep, chickens, all that kind of stuff, in a safe environment without, you know, things being done wrong, you know, pesticides and all that kind of stuff. So I think actually the vegetarians would win in the end. No. It'd be like the 100-year war.
No, because meat eaters have that choice. They can.
But you,
they obviously they're fighting to eat meat.
Well, if,
they
don't if, they necessarily have to, if they have to turn have vegetarian to, for the purposes of the war, then I mean that surely defeats the whole point of the war in the first place.
Yeah, but you'd do anything to win, wouldn't you? If you had to go, if
but then
the
but then
was,
but then in a roundabout way, then the vegetarians win.
Yeah, but they only go stop for a week, and then the vegetarians lose.
It's a week long war, is this?
The meat's back, or however long it is.
I don't know.
You see, guys, this is something we've got to think about. We journalists owe it to the world.
Yeah.
To explore every aspect of this issue. Who is going to win when the vegetarians take on the meat eaters? Chloe, do you have an instinct on this one? Okay.
Yeah.
Scarlett.
I 100% think the vegetarians would win.
Why?
What?
Get in.
Like,
they won't want to kill anyone. Why?
Because they're vegetarian.
They're not pacifists.
If they've got such a go-getter to actually be a vegetarian and be that dedicated, I think they would be rededicated in this war, and we're all too lazy to do anything about it.
You're in the minority, Cornelius. I'm telling you.
Okay, so it looks like it's three.
And the pescatarian. The pescatarian doesn't really count anyway.
And an R. Well, you've got to have a don't know, otherwise you're not a proper opinion poll, aren't you?
That's true, yeah.
Right, listen, though, the interesting thing is this country, and indeed the world, is now dividing itself into two on so many issues, isn't it?
Mm.
Okay, and this one is going to be even more divisive than anything that's come along before. I'll tell you why. First of all, it's the North versus the South again, because there are far more vegetarians in the South of England than there are in the North.
Mm.
It's what you'd expect. I mean, the key concentrations of vegetarians in the United Kingdom are in Tunbridge,
right,
Hampstead, Welwyn Garden, and Frome. Although I'm not sure where Frome is. Who knows where Frome is? No, doesn't matter.
No.
It's in Somerset, I'm advised by Chloe and Mayor. Thank you for that. There is rumoured to be one vegan living in Sunderland. And it's that surprising that it's actually made the news.
Really?
Yes, but he is actually now looking to relocate to Bromley. And I have that also as a piece of news fact. Okay?
Where is this? Man, woman?
Man? Male?
Sunderland born and bred?
No. Southern born and bred. Moved up there. Jermaine Defoe.
Oh, yeah.
He's vegan. And as far as we know, he's the only vegan in Sunderland. And doing very well on his veganism, actually, isn't he?
Not bad.
Let's load the thing for vegetarians.
Yeah, in fairness. 34 years old, back to the England squad, 15, 16 goals for the season. Can't complain with that.
So, we've got the North versus South divide on the issue of who is going to win when the vegetarians and the meat eaters finally get it on. But it runs deeper, it goes deeper. It's young versus old again, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a simple fact that more young people are vegetarian. Don't reap very many people as wrinkly as myself, for example, who are veggie. I like my meat.
It's a good point.
A bit of meat with every single meal of the day. Some at breakfast, some at lunch, and some in the evening.
Further reinforcing the idea that the vegetarians would win against the non-vegetarians. You know, age, young versus old.
Yes. I can see looking across the other side of the studio to the pro-meat eaters on this one.
There's a concerned look in his face.
Cornelius, yeah, you're...
What about a pure numbers thing? There's many more meat eaters in this country than vegetarians, so...
But when they're called out to nail their colours to the mast, what is a more noble uniform to wear than that of somebody who is prepared to sacrifice himself so that a chicken might live? They're...
And it's chicks.
Yeah, but in this day and age, people aren't noble, are they? Everyone wants it.
No, there's definitely nobility in the world still.
No.
There is.
No.
Definitely.
No way.
I haven't got that on my list yet, but I'm going to put it. Nobility versus ignobility. Is there such a thing as ignobility?
I'm going to go with it.
So it's North versus South in the vegetarian versus meat eaters conflict. It's young versus old all over again. The average young person in their lifetime will eat nearly 2 tonnes of pulses.
Pulses,
yeah. You know, vegetarian meat.
Yeah.
Which, goodness knows what that does to the greenhouse effect with all that methane, because it's rumoured that the dinosaurs succumbed to basically too much gas escaping from them because of their habit of eating rotten vegetation. The average old person, by the time they are old, has accounted for 16 cows, 21 pigs.
Is that all?
81 lambs, 419 chickens, and one duck breast. Didn't like it. They don't. They're not adventurous. They tried it. Once.
Everyone has tried it
eater.
Once.
Yeah.
I love duck.
Yeah.
We'll come back to that in the third hour. It's men v women again.
Is it?
Yes, because far more women are vegetarian than men. So can you see how this divides the country in two more obliquely than any other debate that's available at the moment?
Yeah, but going back to what you were saying, your reasons, as noble as they were earlier on for being a vegetarian, I'm sure that, you know, the propaganda war, if there is a male-female divide, there could be...
Women are four times more likely to be vegetarian than men.
Really?
Whereas, as discussed, 43% of young men who are vegetarian only do it to get off with vegetarian women.
Mm.
It's the bright versus the dim again. This is a really interesting statistic, and I'm not making this up as if I would. Southampton University did a survey, and they found out that vegetarians are significantly more intelligent than meat eaters. And it's the UK versus Europe again. Because Europe, they love their meat, basically. The most vegetarian country in the EU, besides England, Britain, is... Anybody want to have a guess? You won't get it.
Not the Germans.
It is the Germans!
Is it the Germans?
Good work.
Really?
Have you been... You haven't been looking over my shoulder. It's the Germans and the Austrians. And I mention at this point, and I don't embellish, that Hitler was a vegetarian.
Mm.
The rest, especially Spain, Portugal and France, have virtually done away with vegetarianism. So when the Civil War comes, and come we say it will, it's going to be young, fit, attractive, well-educated and well-resourced vegetarians versus old, overweight, semi-literate northerners who will have to improvise their weapons. I'm Tommy Boyd, in for John Holmes. This is Talk Radio.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Join the conversation party. Talk Radio.
So what do you think of my six-pack, Brian?
Oh, you never could count.
These abs, they're just like a washboard. Go on, give him a dig.
Well, only if you're sure, Neil.
You won't get good odds on what happens next. But for great in-play prices on the footy, get yourself to 10bet.co.uk and score a first deposit bonus of up to £200.
Oh, those are my abs, Brian.
Really?
When it's time to bet, it's time to 10bet.
Minimum deposit £15. Deposit must be staked in full to qualify. Five rollovers of deposit and bonus required. Single bets and ACCAs only. Please bet responsibly.
So you kick around the idea of getting rid of your greys with Just For Men, but all your intel comes from your lovely lady, who goes to that dreaded place, the salon.
Then there's the foil and the sitting, the hot dryer, more rinsing, more sitting, more rinsing, more sitting, more rinsing.
Mate, that's not for you, that's for the ladies. That's why Just For Men is made for men. Getting rid of your grey takes about 5 minutes. Yeah, it's that easy. Now you're not only back to your natural hair colour, you're back at the pub, where you belong. Just For Men. Find it in the men's aisle.
Don't ignore the workplace. It's the law to have a work... Even if you work from home and only employ one person, you'll still need a work... You'll still need to offer a workplace pension. Ah, finally. I got your attention. Don't ignore the workplace pension. It's the law. Get to know your responsibilities with help from the pensions regulator. Visit workplacepensions.gov.uk.
Talk Radio, traffic and travel.
Problems on the southbound side of the A1M through County Durham. It's partially blocked due to an accident between 58 at Birtree and 57 and the A66M at Darlington. Southbound on the A1M also a struggle through Hertfordshire. One lane closed, very slow traffic due to an accident between 7 and Stevenage and 6 for Welling Garden City. The northbound side main carriageway closed also for a time. London bound M4 also busy through Berkshire. A lane closed due to a breakdown between 6 at Slough and 5 at Langley. That's the latest. I'm Stephen Beach.
Is in their blood. Being a lion is in ours. The Lions Tour, live only on Sky Sports. To upgrade, search Sky Sports Summer.
Talk Radio. Digital debate for the UK.
Pick up your phone and talk radio.
We'll get you talking.
The Tommy Boyd Radio Experiment.
Tommy Boyd on Talk Radio.
The war will come of one sort or another between vegetarians and meat eaters. It will go down to the wire. So the question is, who's going to win? And for you listening, good day. If you're podcasting, good whatever time of day it is. On which side are you on? You can contact the show a number of ways. And I think we had a couple of tweets trickle in already. And the phone lines are open. Cornelius has the details.
Yes, 03444991000. That's 03444991000. Give us a ring. That's your standard network rate. Or you can text talk and your message to 87222. That costs 25 pence plus your standard network rate. Or you can tweet at Talk Radio as Lane has. He says, Tommy, my mate Debs is a Sunderland veggie and the smell of her poo would be considered a WMD by the UN. Scott,
well, there's another weapon that's at the disposal then of vegetarians, isn't
that's
it?
That's true.
Really,
yeah.
I mean, I'm not going to take it literally.
Yeah, but they can't use that under the Geneva Convention, can they?
We'll come back to you on that one. That's okay. A very good point that you make. But I think he's only suggesting that it's the equivalent of a weapon of mass destruction.
Well, he's saying it should be considered, or would be considered.
Yeah, you see, he's clearly not a vegetarian, is he? Because he's got bad taste in humour. That's another thing.
Yeah.
Vegetarians have a much better line in wicked, sly, witty humour, in my own view. Meat eaters are that much more hale and hearty. They'd watch Carry On films, where vegetarians would go for Woody Allen. Do I make a good point?
Yeah.
I do, don't I? Chloe, have you made up your mind yet whether you're backing the meat eaters or the vegetarians when war comes?
Well, it depends how you how you would define winning a war. Are you talking about casualties or
that is an issue for vegetarians,
occupied?
Isn't it? That is an issue for those vegetarians who do it for reasons of humanity.
Yeah,
many do it for to get off with a girl.
Yeah,
I don't, but yeah.
No, but so what are your reasons then for not eating meat? But eating fish.
So I'm trying to be fully vegetarian, but I really like seafood. Basically, I never really liked beef. I don't like the texture of meat. And then I started watching documentaries about cows being thrown into incinerators because they bred too many and that sort of thing. The industry's a bit, in my opinion, so there's certain practices that are a bit wrong.
So largely your reasons are humanitarian?
Yeah.
Good for you. Good for you. I was sitting opposite a woman having dinner once and she said, I won't eat anything that has had a face. And then you immediately start thinking of all the animals that don't have faces. Don't you? But I couldn't think of many, really, besides bivalves. You've got oysters.
Mussels.
I won a bet in Waitrose not long ago saying to the lady on the till, do you have a licence for selling live animals for slaughter? And she said, what? I said, you do? She said, we don't. You do. You sell mussels. They're alive, aren't they?
Yeah.
Are they animals?
Yeah.
They're not alive.
Crustaceans.
They live. They move. They eat. They secrete.
Not when they're in the shop, though.
What are they, then?
Well, they're dead.
Vegetables? No, they're not dead. Have you never watched Rick Stein? Every time he's on, he tells you tap the mussels, and if they don't close, you throw them away. That's because they're dead. The ones that you put in the boiling water, nice way to go, they're alive.
I never knew that. It's insane.
Oh, state education.
I know.
Oysters?
Oysters.
Clams?
Yes. What
and
about?
One other live animal is sold for slaughter in a supermarket besides bivalves.
One other
animal. Sold in all in all supermarkets.
All vegetarian supermarkets. Not lobsters. No.
No.
I bet it's like a cleaning product or something. Something that we won't expect.
Nope.
Are we still staying in the same aisle of the department shopping store?
No.
Oh,
no.
Right, okay.
We're away from the fish.
Meat, is it? No.
A woman in my supermarket bought half a kilo of whitebait and asked that they be cleaned. There are about 200 of them, about an inch long. This poor fella. Because you can't argue with a Waitrose customer.
No.
Had to get the tiniest knife he had and slit him. No, it's not in the fish count. It's the... We'll come back to it, shall we?
Okay.
So you're coming round slowly to the idea that perhaps the vegetarians will win, Cornelius, because they're younger, they are fitter, they're more attractive, they are more intelligent, they're bound to be better organised, and they are armed with their own excrement.
We think. We haven't checked the Geneva Convention yet.
No.
So, do you remember when the new Fiverr came out, and there's that big hoo-ha?
Yeah.
Because it's not vegan, is it? Mm. It's not vegan. It contains some sort of animal fat in it.
Yes.
Mm. Weaponry must surely contain all sorts, like the Liam Perrins
had. This is a good point. I like this. This is good thinking.
So, I'd argue that the vegetarian army are going to have a much reduced scale of weaponry.
Right.
Because some will
be... But like what? Give us an example.
Okay, so just a normal rifle might have a bit of leather on.
Leather?
Usually wood, though.
Yeah, or the thing that you keep the rifle in.
A designer rifle, you mean, by Gucci.
Yeah. Yeah, so they wouldn't be able to carry it. They'd have to carry it round without its pouch.
I've come to like the new Fiverr because if I'm going into my pocket and I want to get out a note, in the old days, I didn't know whether the notes, if I might have a 20, a 10, a couple of fivers. I didn't know which was which. But before my hand comes out of my pocket, I know if I've got my hands on a fiver.
Because I always knew there was never any more than a fiver in there.
Never any more than a fiver in there. Okay, now that gets you home and hosed, doesn't it? Okay, you can contact the programme if you would like. You can tweet us, which is a really good way of getting in on the action. And I'll just get Cornelius to remind us of how you tweet. You probably know, but...
Just at Talk Radio on Twitter. Yeah, yeah. Very simple.
And the number again, if anybody wants to climb on board.
0344 499 1000. That's 0344 499 1000.
He says it so nice. He says it so nicely.
No, I don't know, he does.
He does, doesn't he?
I never normally have to say it as well.
No.
I'm sorry making you work so hard this week.
Yeah, no, I'm just saying, it's a new area for me, but yeah.
Well, I think you're dealing with it admirably.
You'll get your notes whilst we're listening to the news, which is next.
We're grading you.
On Talk Radio. Tommy Boyd in for John Holmes. Here is the news with Victoria Bourne.
Talk Radio.
Police in Manchester are evacuating houses after finding a car which could be linked with the suicide bombing in the city. A 100-metre cordon has been placed around the Nissan Micra in Rusholm. Detectives believe the vehicle may be significant to the investigation. Prince William has been in Manchester meeting police officers who were called out on the night of the attack, including PC David Lawrenson.
I think the fact that the Duke is a professional air ambulance pilot, it's good the fact that he's got experience in this line of work and knew exactly what he was talking about. It felt a bit more personal.
It comes as Ticketmaster says it's processed 12,000 of the free tickets for the One Love Manchester benefit gig that it set aside for fans who were at last week's Ariana Grande concert. The website says it's still working through applications and that they want as many genuine fans at the show as possible. Donald Trump is facing widespread criticism for pulling out of an international deal to stave off climate change. World leaders are lining up to condemn the USA, but Theresa May's comment that she's disappointed has been attacked by Labour as being too weak. The Conservative candidate who defeated Nigel Farage in the 2015 general election has been charged over allegations relating to his election expenses. 50-year-old Craig McKinley insists he's done nothing wrong. Sir Ian McKellen has joined a protest outside the Russian embassy against the persecution of gay men in Chechnya. The actor joined hundreds of people in London, demanding Moscow takes action against those responsible. Russian media outlets say around 100 gay people have been abducted, tortured and even killed in a purge in the region. And more than 200 people have complained to the TV regulator after Amanda Holden wore a revealing dress on last night's Britain's Got Talent. Some viewers tweeted that they thought the show's judge had put it on back to front. The weather, sunshine and showers this afternoon, hot in London and the southeast with a chance of some thundery downpours, highs of 26 degrees. There's more in half an hour.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Every weeknight from 10, get an earful of unusual nocturnal emissions with radio's Lord of Misrule, Ian Lee.
No relation, thank God.
The cactus and the tree and the rabbit on the hill.
Unfiltered Night Talk with the original king of unconventional conversation.
It's going to be awesome.
Late Night Ian Lee.
Just listen and see what happens.
Tonight from 10 on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Tommy Boyd.
Tommy Boyd on Talk Radio.
So, not if, but when the nation's vegetarians and meat eaters take the gloves off and go at it, who's going to win? Alexi calls. Afternoon, Alexi.
Afternoon.
Who's going to win?
Who's going to win? I mean, though the meat eaters have us outnumbered by quite a substantial margin. I'd say it must be 10-1 to be on the safe side. So I reckon they've got the upper edge.
Meat eaters, you say?
Meat eaters, just for the pure numbers of it, isn't it? It's just a numbers game at this point. Yeah.
Yeah, but I refer you to Agincourt. As we all know, Agincourt, the French outnumbered the English 5-1. 10,000 French knights and 2,000 Englishman, and it was a whitewash.
Wasn't that the one where the English cracked out the longbows?
Say it again, more slowly, and with perhaps a tad less brogue.
Was that cracked out the longbows, right? The first introduction of the longbows.
Oh, yeah, longbows.
Oh, longbows, the man. Could you translate?
Yeah, the longbows. Yeah.
Okay. Could you tell Alexei that we don't know whether the longbow is vegetarian or not?
Yeah, we haven't figured out the longbow has, you know...
The technical, yeah.
Yeah, you know, because Cornelius raised the point a few minutes ago that, you know, if you've guns, there's probably leather on it, in which case, you know, the vegetarians wouldn't be able to use it.
Although I know a fair few vegetarians are happy to wear a leather coat.
What do you say?
A fair few vegetarians are happy to wear leather coats.
Something about a kilt?
Yeah.
I was one of them. During my vegetarian days, I had a very nice leather coat. I had two, actually.
Okay. Excellent. Well, who's going to win the 2:30, Alexei?
I mean, I'm not convinced in the war, to be honest. I'm quite a peaceful vegetarian. I reckon it won't bring me to harm.
But
no.
If it came down to it,
if it was
an armed struggle, surely you would fight for your cause. Because you can call it a noble cause. The meat eaters can't claim to have morality on their side, surely. They don't want that. They're not bothered.
No, there is no moral argument for it. It's literally destroying the environment. I mean, the meat eaters are doing about as much harm for the environment as Donald Trump is this week. So, there's not much of a moral argument.
What do you proper vegetarians, Alexei? What do you think of pescatarians?
Oh, I personally can get behind it because my whole vegetarianism is based on reducing carbon emissions, and fish don't have the same effect as the cows.
Oh, okay. Mm. Yeah. What are you having for tea?
I don't mind. You can eat all the fish you like.
Okay. What are you having for tea tonight, then?
Say again?
What are you having for tea tonight? Because it's fish and chip day today, as
Oh, I've actually
knows.
Made... I've made a vegetarian cacciatore, which is like a... Which is kind of ironic, because cacciatore is traditionally like hunter stew. It's like a pasta dish with all sorts of meats in it, and I've just made a veggie one, so... doesn't make a great deal of sense.
Where do you stand on meat-like vegetarian food? You know, vegetarian sausages.
It can
and
be
mock
quite
duck.
Good. It can be quite good. I've had is it Linda McCarthy? She does a range of veggie sausages. They're quite nice. They just taste a bit like stuffing, really. You get some like I have them with a bit of chili jam, and they're quite nice.
Yeah, they do need a little bit of help along the way, don't they?
Yeah, yeah. I reckon it's okay. I mean, some of it's quite crap, but it's like, you know, it's like anything. You can get great tofu or you can get crap tofu. It's just a matter of how much you're willing to spend, and also how much you're willing to make the effort.
Thanks for your call, Alexei. Good talking to you.
As well.
So there we are. Alexei is a vegetarian, but he's not sure whether he's going to sign up and fight. But you might not have a choice.
You raise the point there. I think vegetarians have more to fight for.
Yes.
Irrelevant of the number situation.
Yes.
It's going back to what
they
you
believe.
Mentioned. If 5-1 or 10-1.
Belief is so important. Yeah. They all have the heart of Churchill beating in their
exactly.
breast, do they not? Because
no.
they believe.
Yeah, but if you try taking that's only because meat eaters are comfortable with their meat. If you try taking bacon away from people, they'd kick off.
I have seen you in the morning, Cornelius.
Yeah, well,
it's not a pretty. It's not pleasant.
Pugsley has tweeted, "Would no there would be no vegetarian secret agents in a war. They'd be unable to not talk about being a vegetarian within 2 minutes of meeting everyone."
Now, dangerous talk costs lives, and there is that. They are blabbermouths, aren't
they? Yeah, they do. They do bring
it up at the earliest opportunity. Mm. But then again, meat eaters are very foolish, because if they find that there's a vegetarian at the table, they ask them why they're a vegetarian. And if you're asking for trouble then, because you're just about to get a nice plate of lamb.
Yeah, you're invited. Yeah.
And somebody's going to tell you what goes on in a slaughterhouse.
Mm.
Or that book, what was it called? The Silence of the Lambs.
Oh, yeah.
Which is all part and parcel of that.
Mm-hmm.
I've got an interesting story connected to this. This story has been triggered. This topic of discussion has been triggered by the news coming from India that in the southernmost state of India, beef eating is being pretty much outlawed. But I've got this. I happen to be reading, don't ask me why, a CIA handbook on surveillance and counter-surveillance activities.
Nice.
I know it is. I can't let you borrow it. Now, listen to this. This will make you tickle. This will tickle you. One of the CIA's most unusual... I have to do it in a slight American accent.
Nice.
It adds to the... One of the CIA's most unusual plans for an identity transfer. This is where a spy pretends to be somebody else. So he gets somebody else to be him so he can go off and talk to another spy. Right, identity transfer.
Hmm.
One of the CIA's most unusual plans for an identity transfer required a big dog. In the 1970s, a plan was conceived to post an officer abroad with an adult male Saint Bernard weighing more than 180 pounds. When identity transfer was needed, the dog would be swapped for an agent concealed in a full Saint Bernard skin and inside a portable kennel. A tape recorder and small speakers hidden in the kennel provided sound effects to enhance the effectiveness of the illusion. The agent dog would be taken to a safe location for, in quotes, examination by a veterinarian, unquote. Once inside the safe house, the agent could be safely debriefed, and when the examination was completed, he could redon the dog skin, get into the kennel, and be returned home. That's official CIA practice.
Mm-hmm.
But this bit is even more interesting, since we're talking about cows. The idea of swapping identities with an animal was not completely new, as it had been previously developed during the Second World War. The British Special Operations Executive, SOE, created an innovative camouflage for parachutes secretly landing in German-occupied France. A two-piece, collapsible, rubber cow... I'm not going to get through this without cracking... Rubber cow was painted in advance of the operation to blend with the livestock of the landing area. The plan then called for British agents to parachute the rubber cow with them, land, and bury their parachutes. That done, they would climb into their respective... That done, they would climb into their respective half of the two-person cow... join up and remain concealed until members of the local French resistance units arrived and led them to safety. Tests showed that the camouflage was highly effective. So, according to the CIA, the Brits would parachute two spies in and they'd then put on a pantomime cow costume. And if you saw it in a low, a low, you'd go, no, they've gone... Jimmy Perry's gone too far with that one. There were silly things going on in wartime, but definitely not spies dressed as pantomime cows. Unbelievable. We're talking about vegetarianism versus meat eaters and wondering who's going to win, you know, when the chips are down, basically, when it comes to it, because one side is going to win in the end and the other side is going to lose.
There must always be a loser.
There must always be a loser. So who's it going to be? We've established that because of their diet and because of who they are, most vegetarians are young, fit, attractive, well-educated and well-resourced, whereas most meat eaters are old, overweight, semi-literate, and will have to improvise their weapons. But Cornelius has made a good point. What weapons are available to vegetarians? Mm. What weapons are vegetarian? I once bought a stylistic CD in the supermarket, and the CD wasn't actually in the box. They had to go off and get it for security reasons.
So that always annoyed me as well. Didn't
it? I know.
I mean, come on.
Yeah, I know. Back in the day, you'd go to a record shop and there'd be all these empty sleeves you had to pick through. And if you decided you wanted the Beatles Sgt. Peppers, you'd have to take the sleeve up and the assistant would drift off and come back and slot it in. So I'm standing there by the till, having paid, and somebody's gone off to get my stylistic CD. And I'm looking at the till where it says stylistics, $6.99. And in brackets next to it, it said suitable for vegetarians. I haven't made that up. Well,
that's mad.
Give us a call if you fancy joining the conversation, or you can tweet us, which is probably the best way of doing it. I'll get Cornelius to do his fantastic tweet plug again.
At Talk Radio on Twitter.
Oh, nice.
It's good beauty. It gets better every time.
I know.
It almost sounds as though it's been pre-recorded, doesn't it?
Yeah.
He's got that slight...
Yeah, we've one of those stabs just ready to go anytime we need it.
And neatness about it that suggests that he's not actually here. I'm Tommy Boyd.
What you
wish? I'm Tommy Boyd, in for John Holmes. Good afternoon. This is Talk Radio.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
A radio star is born.
You're going to love
Talk Radio.
Listen. Do you hear that? That's the sound of nothing. Sounds nice, doesn't it? At Ford, we like the sweet sound of nothing, too. That's why we now have 0% APR representative across our Ford car range on 3-year Ford options. Visit your nearest participating Ford dealer today. Ford. Go further.
Retail only. Vehicles to be contracted from April the 1st to June the 30th, 2017 and registered between April the 1st and September the 30th, 2017. Finance subject to status. Guarantees may be required. Free post Ford credit. Exclude selected models. Please contact your Ford dealer for more information.
Have you seen my keys anywhere?
Are they in the dining room?
Nope.
Library?
Nope.
Indoor pool?
Nope.
Outdoor pool?
Nope.
Tennis courts?
Ah,
nicer problems to have. This Friday, there's a £131 million jackpot. And two guaranteed UK millionaires. Euro Millions. Only from the National Lottery. Estimated jackpot. Rules and procedures apply. Players must be 16 or over.
Hey, I'm Lee Reedy. This song's about Oasis drinks.
I'm selling out, singing this song. Your liquid loving stops a feeling wrong. I sold my soul to the marketing team. But the money's good and the Oasis drinks are free. Oasis, it's hashtag refreshing stuff. Oasis, buy a bottle cause it's just ain't enough.
Talk Radio, traffic and travel.
Still slow, anti-clockwise on the M25 through Surrey. It's following an accident between Clackett Lane Services and Junction 5 for the M26. Southbound M6 through Cheshire also slow, following a car fire between 16 and 15. That's the two Stoke turns for the A500. All lanes are open, but delays do remain. Northbound side of the A1M, main carriageway closed through Hertfordshire. It's due to investigation work at Junction 6 for Welling Garden City. Queues back towards Junction 4 for the A414. I'm Stephen Beach.
Being an All Black is in their blood. Being a Lion is in ours. The Lions Tour, live only on Sky Sports. To upgrade, search Sky Sports Summer.
Across the UK, online and on DAB. Saturday Breakfast with Penny Smith.
On Talk Radio.
I'm Penny Smith. Join me tomorrow morning from 8 on Talk Radio for the perfect weekend breakfast. I'm going to be reviewing the papers, taking a look at all the best new film, book and theatre releases, and I'm going to be chatting to a whole host of celebrity guests live in the studio.
Saturday Breakfast with Penny Smith. Tomorrow morning from 8.
On Talk Radio, we'll get you talking.
The Tommy Boyd Radio Experiment.
Tommy Boyd on Talk Radio.
Extraordinary story coming out of the southernmost state in India that beef is now illegal. And it's coming to a head. battle lines will be drawn between vegetarians and meat eaters. And the question is not whether it's going to happen. The question is who's going to win. Let's talk to an expert. You have to. And it's award-winning vegetarian chef Eddie Shepherd. Eddie.
Hello, how are you doing?
Never been better. You?
Yeah, all right, all right.
How long have you been a veggie?
About 10 years, I think.
What was it that tipped you?
So I was studying a philosophy degree, and it, in general, confused my whole life views and made me question a bunch of stuff. So I think it was that.
So you gave up meat and some other things that you're not going to talk about, which is fair enough.
Mainly meat.
Mainly meat, okay. Now, where would you be willing to take arms on behalf of the animal kingdom if it comes down to conflict, warfare, between vegetarians and meat eaters, Eddie Shepherd?
Well, I don't know. I mean, we're largely a peaceful people, yeah. The vegetarians, I'd say. But if it's, you know, if we feel this is inevitable, I guess I'm going to have to get involved.
You would. You would put on the uniform, wouldn't you?
I'd have no choice.
Because you believe.
Organic, of course.
Organic uniform.
Yeah, only hemp, I think it would be, yeah.
A nice hemp outfit with pockets, big pockets.
Naturally.
Naturally.
Yeah.
And somehow I see one of those sort of Leninist caps would go quite well with that. Do you know the ones I mean? The big sort of newsboy ones?
Yeah.
In corduroy?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm getting keener on this idea, yeah.
You're going for the look, aren't you?
Yeah, that is appealing to me.
But can you get plastic jack boots?
Well, yeah, you can get all this stuff vegan these days.
I think you can. Are you vegan?
No. I'm not. Cheese is too tempting.
Yes, we were discussing that yesterday. The RAF say it tastes just the same coming up as going down, so it's a food that you can eat before you fly.
Well, that's good to know in terms of warfare as well, then.
Yes, are you getting into this, aren't you? Okay, yeah. This is good. Now, who would we have actually commanding the units of vegetarians spread across a line, I would say, from sort of Watford down? Paul McCartney, surely. Well, there'll be a role for him.
Sergeant Major.
Yeah, I think definitely, yeah. Certainly spearheading things.
A gluten-free role.
Would be there. Yeah, yeah.
So, yes, who else is known for their vegetarianism who would be of use in the conflict?
I mean, I think we've got a lot of kind of pop stars on that side. You know, Tom York, Radiohead, I'm sure the guys from Coldplay, so maybe slightly moody.
Yeah, they'll be all right for the vegetarian ENSA, really, the entertainments department. They'll be very... Yeah. Actually, I'll tell you what, they could put on a good show, couldn't they, for the troops, vegetarians.
Yeah, you know, and that's going to be important too.
What about... Would you be willing to go undercover? And infiltrate the meat eaters...
Ooh, that's a big ask,
isn't it?
You'd have to eat meat, otherwise people would.
Exactly.
But you know what? There's a greater cause.
Yes.
Well, I don't know. I could go undercover, like disguised as as livestock or something like that.
Well, we've been discussing the use of the pantomime cow in the Second World War. So
right. Yeah.
I don't think it's going to work.
Surely that's the worst possible route into the meat eaters to dress up as animals that they eat.
Yes.
Fantastic.
No, I haven't thought it fully through, to be honest.
Supposing you actually had to go and do a Ray Mears because you needed... The meat eaters win, right? And the few of you that are left, Eddie, you have to run to the woods because they're after you. So you've got to survive.
Yeah.
Would you be able to survive as well as Ray Mears, who's quite happy to eat bugs? Animals?
Maybe we could eat bugs. I don't think I would do well in the wild, to be honest.
No.
No, I'm not well adapted for it. But a small holding. Maybe we could develop a small holding.
Oh, you're straight off into Sunnybrook Farm, aren't you? You're such romantics, you vegetarians. That's the thing. That's why we love you, Eddie. How's business?
It's good. It's busy.
Are you at the restaurant now?
I'm in the kitchen, okay. So I'm sort of between. I'm making bread, which is a nice way to spend the afternoon.
What's tonight's special?
Sorry?
What's tonight's special?
What am I making? I am cooking tofu wrapped up in seaweed. That doesn't sound awfully appealing, does it, actually, when you say it out loud?
Not really, no. You're not helping the argument here at all, Eddie.
I think no. the meat eaters do have better PR, don't they, for their bent. Eddie, I'll let you go and finish your bread. Thank you for talking.
Awesome. All right, thank you.
Awesome indeed.
I figured out who's going to be leading the charge of the Light Brigade.
Okay.
Russell Brand.
Yes.
Is he a vegetarian, though?
Oh, isn't it obvious?
Yeah.
There's not
a pick on him.
He's vegan. In fact, I'm getting from the expert, the piscatarian, in the gallery.
Piscatarian. Yeah. And then John Bishop can coordinate the... do you know the comedian John Bishop? Liverpudlian?
Yes, of course. Is he vegetarian?
He's not a vegetarian.
I didn't know that. That's interesting, that one. Yeah. That is in. Why? Do we know? Because there are two basic reasons, I think, to be a vegetarian. And you know, if I'm going to be stuck on the meat-eating side... we're going to need a profile of the enemy.
True. I just want to realise, we've given all these positions to men. There are, of course, many celebrity and, you know, forefront female vegetarians as well. Emily Sandé.
Okay.
The singer. Leona Lewis.
Okay.
So I think we can, you know, there should be a few Admiralty positions there as well and Greater Admiralty.
I've just been told Kathy Burke as well.
Who's Kathy Burke?
Kathy Burke is off the telly. She's a comedian, isn't she, Chloe? Yeah. Yeah, that's correct.
I'm distracted for a second during this important and significant debate, and I'm glad to break the ground on this one because we will be returning to it increasingly, I think, in the media.
As the propaganda war, you know, ramps up and up and up.
There's that. But I want to know, and I'll come back to this in just a second, if I'm working for the meat eaters, we're going to want to know what the enemy are like. And it seems to me that it would be possible to divide and rule vegetarians much more easily than meat eaters, because vegetarians are so schismatic. They keep breaking up into factions. They'd be very easy to get internal strife going within the vegetarian army, because, you know, like plastic boots, fish. We've got somebody who doesn't eat meat but eats fish. They'll be arguing amongst each other all the time.
Do the vegetarians get the pescatarians?
I don't know which side they'd be on. I think they're like Switzerland.
Chloe, you going to be like Switzerland?
I'm happy with that.
Being Switzerland, being out of it.
Yeah, just you know, watch you all get on with it.
I mean, are you going to take care of the finances of all those sides as well?
The what?
You can take care of the finances for both sides.
Yeah.
Cool.
Just give me all the money, I'll look after
it. I was using the CIA surveillance and this is, by the way, a sensitive document, so I can't let anybody else see it. It's the CIA manual of surveillance and counter-surveillance. To quote the use to which a pantomime cow costume was put during the Second World War by British Special Forces. And I've come across something which I was reading on the train on the way into London this morning, and I couldn't get through it without laughing a lot. I'm going to give Cornelius this just to bring to you, including the caption that's next to the illustration, if you would.
Sure.
Cornelius.
The CIA, using a similar design, created an escape and evasion suppository as a portable toolkit, packed it within a waterproof plastic shell. The Spies Leatherman featured 9 escape tools, including wire cutters, pry bar, saw blades, drill, and rearmor packed into a 4-inch long by 1-inch diameter kit, and then the image.
So many thoughts cloud the mind. Yeah, what does the caption say by the image?
Yeah, it says, the CIA escape and evasion rectal suppository was a multi-purpose toolkit packed within a smooth waterproof black plastic and aluminum shell. Aluminium, so I see it. That's
and the CIA man or woman keeps it where the sun don't shine.
Yeah, circa 1955.
Yeah.
There you go, actual size, 4-inch long by 1-inch diameter.
You see, the way the mind works, when you started talking about Switzerland, I immediately thought of the Swiss Army knife. This seems to be, to me, to be a big boy's version of the Swiss Army knife, except you keep it, like I said, where the sun don't shine. Wasn't that a great bit in, which movie is it? Is it Pulp Fiction? where Christopher Walken.
Oh, yeah. Where he kept the watch, wasn't
gives
it?
Gives the watch.
Yeah.
He said that his biggest problem with that was that every time he rehearsed it at his home before he got to the studio to do that speech, he broke up. He just found it so funny.
Don't blame him.
OK, we are discussing vegetarianism versus meat eating, but that one's been done to death. What we are focusing on is that as the arguments sharpen around the world and indeed in this country, all-out conflict cannot be ruled out. If that's the case, which side are you on? And to a large extent, it will be decided by where you live. More vegetarians in the south than the north. Whether you're young or old, more young are vegetarian. And whether you're bright or dim.
Mm.
Because meat eaters tend to be dim. Let's take a call, shall we? We'll rush to line two and speak to somebody who has yet to introduce themselves. Hello. Hello. What's your name?
Hello, this is Basil.
Basil!
Hello, Tommy.
You're halfway to being a vegetarian. I'm not going to do the obvious joke.
my name is Basil, and I am a vegetarian.
Wow.
Why?
That's very brave of you to admit that.
I've been a vegetarian since I was about 14, 15.
And would you fight for the cause?
Yes, of course I would. Yes, I'd fight for the cause. I think we win. I think vegetarians are fitter. I think meat eaters are fat and slow.
Evidence, as Tommy has been pointing out, would point to that. Mm. We can't conclusively say that, of course, but you know.
There's a lot of us, though. There's a lot more of us.
Some people say that vegetarians, just they're all sort of weak and in, they're wearing sandals, but Mike Tyson's a vegetarian.
So is David Hay as well, I just realised.
A lot of athletes are vegetarians.
Basil, thank you for your call. We have to rush towards the news, but good to talk to you. Thank you for joining in. In the next hour of this afternoon show is I Don't Know, because as a challenge, the guys have sealed it in an envelope and we're going to do an hour of radio without a moment's research. And that's how it is when you go down the pub to talk, isn't it? You don't have an agenda. You don't have a menu or a running order.
True.
When you go
true,
down
true.
The pub. We'd throw him out, wouldn't he, if he turned on the pub and said, here's today's topics.
we'd at least make him buy his round first.
Oh, God, absolutely. This is Tommy Boyd in for John Holmes. The news is next. This is Talk Radio.
Election 2017 on Talk Radio.
The latest breaking news, expert analysis and outspoken opinion.
And I, for one, am proud of that.
Join the conversation party.
Talk Radio.
With BMW navigation and Spotify integration as standard, the BMW 1 Series effortlessly combines information and entertainment with outstanding driving pleasure. And now the 5-door BMW 118i M Sport is available with monthly rentals from just £239. Visit your local BMW centre. The BMW 1 Series. Pure BMW. £4,329 initial rental, 36-month hire agreement, subject to status and availability for new vehicles ordered by 30th of June and registered by 30th of September. UK only, guarantees may be required. Excess mileage and other conditions apply when you return the vehicle. BMW Finance.
Van Buster, now on. The Titan 750-watt, 115mm angle grinder, just £20. When it's gone, it's gone. Excludes VAT at 20%.
I'm there as she's rushed down the corridor of A&E. Her bloodied hands are hanging limp from the side of the hospital bed. She desperately needs a transfusion. She keeps asking for her fiancé. We turn the corner. And I'm here, finally, in the snack aisle. I pick up a selection of crisps before realising that I forgot the potatoes. Back to the fruit and veg aisle it is, then. As a blood donor, you can save someone's life while going about yours. Register at blood.co.uk.
Oh, look, it's a postcard from Steve and Lou. Having a wonderful time in Ibiza, very hot, wish you were here. And happy birthday, Mike. Best wishes. And if you get poorly, get well soon. All the best, SNL.
Like getting your money's worth? Enjoy the delicious 99p mayo chicken, part of the McDonald's Saver menu. From 10:30 a.m, price and participation may vary.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
A new kind of talk radio. We'll get you talking. Talk Radio.
Here's the 2 o'clock news, read by Victoria Bourne.
Thanks, Tommy. Coming up, suspicious car embalming probe, Tory candidate due in court, and find out why Ian McKellen's been protesting.
Talk Radio.
Police investigating the Manchester terror attack have evacuated an area in the south of the city after finding a car. They say the Nissan Micra may be significant. A 100-metre cordon has been put in place in part of Rusholme. Meanwhile, Prince William has been visiting police officers who are involved in the emergency response on the night of the concert bombing, including PC Mike Williams.
Something like this, it can't help but bring you together. You've dealt with things that you never expect to deal with and you never really want to deal with. So a visit like this, it's just something to tell the grandkids, really. Something you'll never forget.
The Conservative candidate for South Thanet has been charged with breaching election rules. The allegations against Craig McKinley are overspending during a campaign in 2015 when he beat Nigel Farage. He insists he's done nothing wrong. Theresa May says she has been clear with President Trump that the UK continues to support the Paris Climate Change Agreement despite the US pulling out. The Prime Minister has been accused by political rivals of subservience to Donald Trump and dereliction of duty after telling him she was disappointed. She insists she has been direct with him.
I made the UK's position clear to President Trump last week at the G7 meeting, as did the other G7 leaders, and I made the UK's position clear to President Trump last night. Canada and Japan have not signed that letter, neither has the UK, but we all have the same view, that we remain committed to the Paris Agreement.
A 30-year-old man has been charged with murdering a woman and two children at John Lennon's former home. Sammy Salem was arrested after police went to a flat in Toxteth in Liverpool on Tuesday evening. And Sir Ian McKellen has joined a protest at the Russian embassy in London against the persecution of gay men in Chechnya. He had to join hundreds of people demanding Moscow takes action.
Talk Radio National Weather.
A mix of sunshine and showers this afternoon. Feeling hot in London and the southeast with a chance of some thundery downpours. Highs of 26 degrees.
Talk Radio Sports Update.
I'm Ben Fletcher. Good afternoon. Former Arsenal captain Tony Adams says it's unlikely Arsene Wenger can win a Premier League title during the next 2 years of his new contract. The Gunners boss agreed new terms this week. Adams, who won the title 4 times with Arsenal, thinks it'll be some time before Gunners fans see that particular bit of silverware.
The league doesn't lie. You know, they've come fifth this year and they have to have some extra recruits, I think, in the summer to go forward. I think your cup games are very different. You can do it for a one-off, but over the course of the season, they've been found wanting. And will that improve in the next 2 years? I'm not sure. I don't think it will.
On to cricket. England all-rounder Chris Wokes has been ruled out of the Champions Trophy with a side strain. A replacement is yet to be called up. Finally, racing. The Epsom Derby meeting gets underway this afternoon. Talk Sport brings you full live commentary of the Coronation Cup and the Oaks, in which Rhododendron is the favourite. That's the latest sports news powered by Talk Sport.
Talk Radio.
Across the UK, online and on DAB. The Tommy Boyd Radio Experiment. For those about to talk, we salute you.
Tommy Boyd on Talk Radio.
I've always had the view that everybody's got a story. I worked at a BBC outlet a few years ago, and they wouldn't put anything on the air unless it had come via a press release. And I said, look, you know, stories are out there. Everybody's got one. And to prove myself right, on a Friday afternoon, I used to get them to invite the next person who was walking past the front door of the studio into the studio, and I'd talk to them, and usually within 3 to 4 minutes... there was some terrific information, a story. Everyone's got a story. Equally, whilst it's good to prepare, sometimes you don't need to. You shouldn't. Mm-hmm. You shouldn't prepare at all. You don't prepare for what you're going to say when you go into work on a Monday morning or when you go down the pub to see friends or go for a meal or you're at a football match sitting next to somebody. You don't prepare what you're going to say. Sometimes you think to yourself, oh, I must mention that to Alf when I see him. But, you know, you don't plan it. So having mentioned that to the team, they said, well, how about this then? If we put a topic in an envelope and give it to you when the red light's on.
That's it.
Got the envelope here. You ready?
Yeah.
So this will be your topic and we have to spend the next hour debating on it.
Okay, I like this. This is... open it up.
We agonised over this.
Okay. Here we go. Video did not kill the radio star, but social media has. Radio is completely irrelevant in this day and age of social media. Now, despite the fact that this is a slightly hackneyed argument, and I hope these guys aren't pretending that they drummed it up themselves.
Completely
I want to explore it in great detail. The first thing I want to ask you listening is, does it matter? It matters to people in broadcasting. It matters to people who work in social media, and increasingly people do work in social media. If you go to a PR firm now, it's not about handouts any longer or phoning some journalist that they know and asking if this is possibly a story. If you work in marketing now, it's all about Twitter. It's all about Instagram. It's all about social media. So social media is coming. And is social media as informative as authentic broadcasting? Not quite yet. Not quite yet, because we do get fake news on the internet. We do know that Google is being slow and Facebook are being slow to tackle it. We can be confident that if we're listening to the radio or if we're watching television, and perhaps to a slightly lesser extent, but we are all grown ups, so we know which newspapers have agenda and we know what those agenda are. We can probably be that much more secure in believing the news and believing that the opinion is genuine and is functional if we're watching television, if we're listening to the radio, or if we're getting our information and entertainment from newspapers. But I have to say that when Twitter or Instagram, for example, I'm not sure if this is a case of me talking about the general election, which I'd rather not do, but when there was a debate amongst the leaders, which was chaired by the BBC and broadcast by the BBC, and one particular leader didn't turn up, OK, there was a series of hilarious, I don't know if they were tweets or Instagram messages or GIFs, but it was highly entertaining. It was up there with the satirical magazines. In fact, I thought to myself, there are people out there, ordinary people, who are actually as funny as Ian Hislop. I'm a big fan of Private Eye, but all of these amateur little sort of GIFs and what have you, were at least as funny as any typical Private Eye front page. So what's going on? What's going on? Television programmes don't belong to people who people in television think are ordinary people. There's virtually no accessibility in television, is there?
Not.
No.
Not really. I mean, you can vote if you want to on Britain's Got Talent or the Eurovision.
But I don't really want
But that's
to.
About the size of it. If you wanted to... If you wanted to put on a show yourself, you've got a long way to go to get yourself on television, haven't you?
Mm-hmm.
You've got to write to a lot of producers. You've got a... The big tip I have for getting into television, I don't know if this still obtains, but the big tip for getting into television is to, when the credits roll, all right, don't write a letter to the producer or the director. They've already got a desk littered with them. Write to one of the researchers, because they don't get people writing and saying, how do I get into television? Do you think I'm good enough?
Mm.
Right? And in any case, in 5 years' time, they'll be directors and producers. And they might remember the kid who said, can you give me some advice? But generally speaking, most people are 5 to 10 years away from being able to express themselves on television. Radio, we have our phone in radio. Most phone in radio involves the person going to air being, what term do we use in talk radio for the person who answers the phone and decides whether or not a person has a valid point of view?
Oh, the phone op.
Op. They're called ops. Do you know what they're called in America?
No.
This is a good term. It's a term that's been slightly contaminated by another use of it, but they call them phone groomers. Okay? And I've heard some fantastic grooming done in American talk radio. I was in a station once and OJ was being... OJ was on trial. OJ Simpson?
Yeah, yeah.
He was on trial. And there was a guy on the air and he was doing his show. And the phone op, the phone flashed. So the phone op picked it up and he said, hi, you're through to the Tom Donaldson show. What do you want to tell Tom? And he went, I couldn't hear what the caller was saying. And the phone op went, uh-huh. Okay, so you say OJ is guilty. Uh-huh. OK, so your point is O.J. Simpson is guilty, but that he will be found not guilty. OK. Now, there's nothing wrong with a call like that going to air, is there? Because the caller's got a point.
He's got an opinion.
And that's his opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And why shouldn't he be allowed to air with that opinion? But the phone operator is scratching his chin. So he goes, would you go so far to say that OJ is guilty as hell? Okay. Okay, that's a good point. Which he's given him.
Mm-hmm.
Then he went, would you go so far as to say that OJ is guilty as hell, but he won't burn? Okay. Hey, listen, this is a really good point you have. I'm going to put you on next. He didn't have any other calls, but he made out he had a line. He said, I'm going to put you on next. When you're through, Tom will say to you, we have Dave in Idaho. Don't ask him how he is. Don't tell him it's a great show. Just say, Tom, OJ is guilty as hell, but he won't burn. Okay, do you want to try it with me? Okay, hey, that's great. Okay, I'm putting you through now. Turn your radio off, blah, blah, all the usual things.
Yeah.
So the presenter's there doing his... host, don't call them presenters. The host is doing his thing. And he says, let's take a call. Let's go to Dave on line 21. There weren't 21 lines.
Yeah,
they're
never...
All good show business. And so the guy comes on and he just goes, as discussed.
Yeah.
Hey, Tom! OJ's guilty as hell, but he won't burn. And the host went, thanks for your call, and went to a commercial break. And that was it. And that was it. They groomed this guy for 5 minutes just so that he could be the live sting into a commercial break. And they had it all planned. Mm. So I guess what I'm saying is there is accessibility for a wonderfully talented British public with radio, but it's only phone-in radio. And I think we are more democratic about it than the Americans. Because we wouldn't be shaping anybody's views, would we?
No.
We might say to somebody, don't ask him how he is, you know, or something like that.
Don't swear.
Don't swear, yeah, yeah, yeah. But we'll let them do whatever it is they want to do up to a point on phone and radio. Right. However, social media gives everybody the opportunity to perform. And I'm just trying to fix in my own mind, if you're listening, fix this one in your own mind. You guys too and the rest of the team. What percentage of the British public are, generally speaking, marginally more entertaining than dull? Because this is what it boils down to. If you're a professional working in broadcasting, and this is what the topic is really all about, your job is to work hard to make sure that what you're putting in front of the viewer or the listener or the reader is not only informative and interesting, but preferably somehow or other entertaining. Now, I'm going to write down my own figure for what percentage of the British public I consider to be entertaining to a professional standard.
Oh, yeah.
And then I'm going to ask the rest of the team. So, I'll tell you what, let's break up the order of things here and start with Scarlett this time. Scarlett, we're discussing, and it's an issue that was thrown at me live. I can't remember exactly what it was. Video did not kill the radio star, but social media has. Radio is completely irrelevant in this day and age of social media. And this all boils down to whether or not the British public is sufficiently entertaining. What percentage, Scarlett, of the British public that you've encountered so far would you say are entertaining?
I'm actually going to go a really low number and be like 10 to 11%.
10 to 11%? Okay, yeah, ballpark. Scarlett, Chloe?
I was going to say probably around 20%, one in five.
Very interesting. Let's do Michael next.
I'm going to go 40%.
40%?
Yeah.
Okay. And Cornelius.
I'm going to controversially go for, I reckon, about 70% of people are more interesting than they are dull.
Okay. Right. Well, the official figure is 23%.
What's your source of this official figure?
Me. The one who's sitting in the big seat.
Okay.
All right.
All right. I mean, you know, obviously it's the one's judgment on what percentage of the British population are entertaining, of course, is slightly influenced by our own judgment of whether or not we're interesting, informative and entertaining.
Well, yeah, I was about to say, it's a very personal determination, you know, thought process and how you judge all these things up.
Yeah, I was being generous. I'm judging people at the highest possible standards. I believe that 23% of the British public could very easily host their own television programme, host their own radio show, edit the Evening Standard. Or indeed... Where was I? Or indeed...
Why are you saying where was I? You're not anywhere. You're making this all up as you go.
No, page 4. No. Page 11. Or indeed, run their own Twitter feed.
There are a lot of boring Twitter feeds out there.
Aren't there?
And mine included.
Well, I can't do Twitter because... Oh, a joke that I wrote. Cornelius, you like writing jokes, don't you?
Yeah,
in fact, you do it for a living sometimes.
Sometimes.
Okay. Why is a tweet like the Emirates Stadium?
I know the answer to this.
I made it up.
I already know the answer.
I think I know roughly where you're going. It'll be because something. It'll be something to do with the word arse.
No.
I thought it was like the joke. Oh, opinions are like.
No.
Why is a tweet like a 48,000 full Emirates Stadium?
Oh, 48,000 full. Cause I was going to say because there's only 140 characters.
Than 140 characters in both.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Told you I knew we were going with this.
Yeah, good work, actually.
Thank you very much.
I went for the smutty one. It didn't work out for me.
Well, smutty's good. If in doubt, do a... What was that sign you held up to me yesterday? Do a joke about them. Right, so have we more or less come to a sound, solid conclusion about this? Yes, social media is chasing television and radio out of the airwaves. And, of course, it doesn't spread microwave radiation, or does it? In the same way that... radio does and television does. So there are, you know, there is a green argument for social media over television and radio.
Potentially, I had no idea.
No.
Yeah, but then if you go back to the whole electricity generation, coal, you know, it's a long-term thing here.
If you have views on it, you can tweet. You can use social media, yes. Tweet addresses... I should know this because it's so bloody simple, but I've just sort of got a mental block about it because
it's at the bottom there.
Going to take my job in the end. Oh, here we are. Tweet at Talk Radio.
No, you're right. I think radio is dead.
It's Tommy Boyd in for John Holmes. You're listening to Talk Radio.
Election 2017 on Talk Radio.
Results, analysis and updates from the campaigning all the way to the final count.
Can I quote you on that?
Join the conversation party
on your election station.
Our fortunes prosper well.
Talk Radio.
Hey Lego Batman, did you know that you can join Sky TV from £22 a month and enjoy big screen drama exclusively on Sky Atlantic?
Go on, I'm listening.
And you'll still get all your Freeview favourites.
Oh, I love it, keep going.
What's more, new and existing Sky TV customers can also add the UK's lowest price fibre for £20 a month for 18 months, including line rental. And the total setup fee is £39.95.
That's a pretty sweet deal.
It is, isn't it? Search Sky Bundles. Sky. Believe in better. Lowest price over 18 months. New 18-month contracts. Sky Fibre areas only. 25 gig usage cap. Terms apply.
Van Buster now on. The Titan 750-watt 115mm angle grinder. Just £20. When it's gone, it's gone. Excludes VAT at 20%.
Listen. Do you hear that? That's the sound of nothing. Sounds nice, doesn't it? At Ford, we like the sweet sound of nothing, too. That's why we now have 0% APR representative across our Ford car range on 3-year Ford options. Visit your nearest participating Ford dealer today. Ford. Go further.
Retail only. Vehicles to be contracted from April the 1st to June the 30th, 2017 and registered between April the 1st and September the 30th, 2017. Finance subject to status. Guarantees may be required. Free post Ford credit. Exclude selected models. Please contact your Ford dealer for more information.
Talk Radio. Traffic and travel.
Starting in Worcestershire, the northbound side of the M5 queuing a lane closure due to an accident between Junction 8 at the M50 and junction 7 for the A44 and Worcester South. Looking busy north on the M5 through Devon. Stop start between 28 at Cullumpton and 21 at Western. Travel times of around 90 minutes being reported due to holiday traffic. And finally, in Lincolnshire, Sutterton, the A17 eastbound closed. That's due to an incident around the A16 at the Sutterton roundabout itself. That's the latest. I'm Stephen Beach.
Being an All Black is in their blood. Being a Lion is in ours. The Lions Tour, live only on Sky Sports. To upgrade, search Sky Sports Summer.
Talk Radio, the 21st century dream team of dialogue, debate and discourse.
Talk Radio, give it some lift.
The Tommy Boyd Radio Experiment.
Tommy Boyd on Talk Radio.
In this hour of the programme, we thought, not for reasons of novelty, but to test a case, the presenter host would not be told the topic for discussion until the red light came on. The topic for discussion chosen by the research team is video did not kill the radio star, but social media has. And the argument they wanted us to develop is that radio is completely irrelevant in this day and age of social media. And to extend the experiment, there's now an expert on the line for me to pick their brains, but I don't know who it is or what direction to come at them from. But I can hear breathing on the line, so I guess that I know that it's a female, because as Cornelius rushed out of the studio whilst we were enjoying those commercial messages, he said something about her. So, mystery expert, you're a female.
I am.
Yes. Okay, what can I get from I am? You're not stupid.
Well, you don't know that for sure.
Oh, I'm not bad, mate. I thought you might be a media celebrity or something, but you don't sound shallow enough to be a celebrity.
You can't say that from a voice. In fact, even by saying such a thing, you're proving the value of radio, aren't you?
Well, I'm good. You're an academic, aren't you?
Yeah, sort of.
Well, either you are or you aren't. I mean, have you got...
No, it's a very complex thing being an academic.
Have you got letters after your name, if you wanted to?
Well, I've got cycling proficiency. Yes, I have a few.
Aha! Okay. Then I'm not going to go that you're a sociologist. I'm going to say that you're a professor.
But could be.
Not a sociologist, are you?
No. Anyway, come on. It's about the argument, not about the arguer.
No, it isn't. It's about instinct. It's about You see, one thing that social media can't do, Professor, am I right?
Yep.
Okay, is one thing that social media can't do is give us humanity. When you see a tweet, you don't hear a voice. You don't
absolutely couldn't agree more.
Picture of the person. You can't from written words. Quite.
No, you can't. No. And it's really difficult often because so many emails have got the wrong tone, and even letters years ago would have the wrong tone because it's so different when you talk to the person. And that's why radio is a much warmer thing than.
Now you're
media.
A very personable academic, aren't you? I can tell
I
that.
So. Not so, all the students would say that, but yeah,
my guess is you have a formal name, but you prefer to be called by the shortened version of it.
Yeah, that's
kind.
True.
Wow.
Like
well,
Tommy
there,
as opposed to Thomas. Well, like most people, frankly. Yeah.
No, not at all. Not at all.
Oh, come on.
If I called Cornelius Corny, there would be a fight.
How many people do you know called Cornelius? And Corny's very different anyway.
True.
Thank
you. All right, I give in. What's your name, dear friend?
My name is Liz Howell, or Elizabeth Howell, and I'm a professor at City University in London. University of London, in fact, now.
Great to talk to you.
And you too.
So the discussion is going to be a bit more samey from here on in, because it's going to be an interview, which is a shame, really.
Whatever. Do you mean I interview you? Oh, no, I don't think it's going that way, is it?
Could do. Why not?
Let's try.
That's one of the things that radio, I think, could be a little bit more contemporary in, the idea of the formal interview.
You mean more of them or fewer?
Fewer.
Yeah.
More humanity, more engagement, more sort of attachment between...
But do you think that's... Probably why the importance of podcasts has grown and grown, because they've broken the mould. And the interesting thing about the podcast is how much longer they are.
Yeah.
We've got so used to everything being really clipped, you know, just a soundbite, just a clip. But a podcast can really develop something. And I know that, for example, it goes on.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Not at all.
It goes on until they haven't got anything else left to say, and then they stop.
Well, that's fine, because you can, you know, these days you can tune out long before the end. But so many people I know who go to the gym, I do not include myself in this, but my daughter, for example, will listen to a podcast while they're in the gym. It's, everything's changed. Do you remember when the car changed it so much that radio came back from the dead because of the car?
It did.
People were listening in the car. I think it's the gym now. You know, people are listening to these things in the gym and while they're doing other things, while they're running, while they're training. And you just didn't have that, say, 10, 15 years ago.
You're absolutely right. And we were only discussing in the Talk Radio office yesterday the fact that you can go now to a restaurant and you will see six or eight young people who are together, but they're all on their mobile phone.
Tapping
away with their thumbs.
And they're all doing something completely separate, which isn't corporate at all. I don't know. I think that's sort of changing. I think people have got a bit fed up with that now. I haven't really got any evidence for it. But just think about radio if you go into a store. Perhaps you can't mention the commercial brand names here, but I go into a local chemist, just part of a chain, and they've got their radio station blaring. I go to the petrol station, and they've got their radio station going. So there's so much radio all around you. Perhaps you don't notice it, but it's really there.
Yes, yes. One interesting thing is that we don't, no matter how friendly and natural we become in formal broadcasting, and we should, we still can't get away from things like wondering whether or not we can mention brand names.
And do you think that's a good thing, though? I mean, if we could just mention brand names all the time, whenever we like, then the important thing about conventional radio is that it's organised and regulated by Ofcom, and you have to do certain things, and you have to do them right. And in that case, you probably can avoid the fake news, you can avoid the commercialisation. I think that's terribly important in Britain. I'm not sure that's important anywhere else. But in Britain, the fact that radio is regulated and therefore to a certain extent trustworthy is really, really important.
Okay, yeah, that is a good point. The fact that it's regulated means that it's more trustworthy than social media.
It should be, definitely.
But it's not so real. It's not so real.
At all, just because you've got to be careful doesn't mean it's not real.
Who would have died if you'd mentioned boots?
No, nobody would have died, and it wasn't boots anyway. But the point is,
why worry about mentioning them?
Because it's very important that you're not seen to be bought. That is so important. If you can be seen to be bought, then it sport. If you're bought by a brand, then you're not trustworthy in the same way. And I think this is.
But it's not natural conversation. Down the pub, you wouldn't say a well-known high street chemist. If you,
no, but you wouldn't say that
boots.
Anyway. No. Well, you might. It depends whether
so
or not you want to
give
it
away. So it changes us as people, and therefore we become a little bit more remote.
Well, perhaps changing us as people isn't altogether bad, you know. I think some sort of control, some sort of discipline is not a bad thing in our lives. And I think it's really important that people know that they're not going to be being sold a brand.
Yeah,
look how that has affected the election campaign, this terrible idea that you're being sold something, you've got to go along with these powerful people. The great thing about regulated radio is that it doesn't do that.
The election's another issue.
The whole thing,
you're right. I can't get into saying what I would like to say about certain restrictions that are imposed.
And that's good, you know. It's really good that sometimes discipline is not altogether bad. And I think the fact that regulation means that you can't just say, oh, go shop at Boots, is really, really important.
No, but you see, I'm an anarchist in the strictest sense of the term, in that I believe that it would be an absolute nirvana if we needed no laws, because none of us did anything that would offend...
Oh, no, come on, when's that going to happen?
It will. You've just got to stick around for a bit longer than we've got. That's
like thousands and thousands of years of evolution. No. Human nature is not so nice.
No, human nature is good, fundamentally good. Remember, Prof, good just about wins every time. Just about. Just look back through history.
Mm-hmm. But it only wins because there's a certain amount of discipline. That's why it wins. And I think that's very important. Even if it's the discipline of your conscience or the discipline of a regulator, it always helps. I mean, an undisciplined world where people are completely licentious, do whatever they want, I don't think would work. Maybe you disagree, but neither of us are ever going to get the chance to prove it.
I don't disagree. I haven't got time because we're heading towards the news. I wouldn't disagree with anybody who is prepared to use the word licentious on a gutter show like this. That's fantastic.
Gutter, you're kidding.
And
this is high-quality stuff.
It's not bad. And just
your bit's high-quality.
You're not doing so bad yourself. Last question. Do you have Instagram and tweet? Do you do those things?
Not very much, no. I do them if I have to, but I really don't. I really, really... I, actually don't like social media all that much. Should I just go now and take my pension and forget everything?
Yeah, I'll get a cottage next to yours in Bournemouth.
Oh my goodness! Oh wow! I can't wait.
Thanks, Professor Liz Howe.
Cheers.
Cheers. A senior lecturer in journalism.
I liked her.
I liked her.
Very good.
I liked her on so many levels.
Yeah.
Great stuff. What we'll do is we'll grab the news, all important, and then we'll rush back. We're going to stick with this one for a little bit longer because I think it's an important and an enjoyable debate, and you're listening more than entitled to join in. I would prefer it if you called because I'm on that side of the fence, but you can tweet. Here comes the tweet address again.
At Talk Radio.
Beautifully done. That.
Nice.
Not great. Glad we taped that jingle. It's 2:30, just after, to be precise. Let's get the very latest news from Victoria Bourne.
Talk Radio.
Prince William's made a private visit to Manchester Children's Hospital to meet victims of the Ariana Grande concert bombing. Earlier, he chatted with members of the emergency services as police continued to investigate the terror attack. A part of Rush Home has been sealed off by officers examining a Nissan Micra they say may be significant. A Conservative election candidate for South Thanet, who's been charged with breaching election rules, says he's shocked and insists he has done nothing wrong. The allegations against Craig McKinley are overspending during a campaign in 2015. Two other people have also been charged. Tory leader Theresa May has given her response.
Well, the Conservative Party continues to believe that these allegations are unfounded. Craig McKinley is innocent until proven guilty, and he remains our candidate.
Meanwhile, the Prime Minister insists she made it clear to Donald Trump the UK wanted the US to stay in the Paris Climate Agreement. Her rivals think she should have done more than just telling President Trump she was disappointed. The casino in the Philippines where a fire has killed more than 30 people says it's doing all it can to support staff and guests affected. A gunman started the blaze after storming Resorts World's Manila. And a revealing dress worn by Amanda Holden on Britain's Got Talent has prompted more than 200 complaints. Some viewers tweeted saying they thought she put it on back to front. The weather, sunshine and showers this afternoon, hot in London and the southeast where there's a chance of some thundery downpours. Highs of 26 degrees is more in half an hour.
Election Night Live with Julia Hartley Brewer on Talk Radio on June the 8th from 10 p.m.
Join me, Julia Hartley Brewer, for instant results, breaking news and expert analysis as the votes are counted.
The factions, the fury, the fallout.
Order.
Get knockout election coverage that packs a political punch from Talk Radio's Instrument of Power.
The rumours are completely unfounded. There's no cause for alarm.
Election Night Live with Julia Hartley Brewer. Sorry, Julia Hartley Brewer.
Going to the country.
On June the 8th from 10 p.m. on Talk Radio.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Tommy Boyd.
Tommy Boyd on Talk Radio.
After the news at 3, it's time for, amongst other things, the wonderful hour. Mm. What we're going to be doing is, in the studio and at home, just celebrating all the wonderful things that there are in the world that we often have our eyes closed to. And a good time to do that is on a Friday afternoon, because whether you work or don't, or go to school or don't, Friday just still does have that special sort of fish and chip feel about it. And we just like to put a slow burner underneath it so that we all, and hopefully you as well, listening, feel just a little bit better for having kicked around some of the things in this wonderful world that are wonderful. That's after 3 o'clock. There's other stuff going on in that hour as well. But between 2 and 3 this afternoon on Talk Radio, we have been discussing the proposition that video did not kill the radio star. Who was that, by the way, men? Who sang?
The Buggles.
The Buggles, well played. Because what the boys decided, my colleagues decided to do was, well, they are boys.
We should say.
We went from men a second ago to boys to colleagues to, what's next?
Drinking partners, I hope.
Well, I can't go on with this. I should say that it was actually our work experience, Scarlett, who came up with this idea. So we've been taking the credit.
Yeah.
And, you know, if it does go wrong, the best thing is we can blame her.
Always the way.
So far, so good. Yeah. We had that in our back pocket.
Well, the stunt was that it was put in an envelope for me to open live on air when the red light went on at 2 o'clock.
And Cornelius did do that.
And and we did that.
Yeah.
You stuck down a beautiful envelope.
Thank you.
So the proposition is, video did not kill the radio star by the Buggles, but social media has, and that radio is completely irrelevant in this day and age of social media. Do you guys look back on 1980s music with any kind of disdain or affection?
My darling other half is a massive 80s music fan, so it's constantly on in our house.
Okay.
I have no choice in the matter.
Understood.
I quite like a lot of music from all over the decades, to the point where I don't really know which music is from
the
80s.
You can always tell, though.
Yeah, well, sort of. Yeah, you sort of, you imagine, the Bee Gees would be more 70s, right?
Yeah.
What's the 80s? What?
The Buggles.
Oh, yeah.
Michael Jackson.
We judge people so much by their musical tastes, don't we?
More so than vegetarians.
I was at the BBC and an engineer found out that I had Bill Withers' Lovely Day on my MP3 player.
Nice.
And I was doomed.
Really?
Yes.
What's wrong with Bill Withers?
He seemed to think that it made me, I don't know, sort of sub-Radio 2. You know, kind of woolly, fluffy jumper.
Really? Well, you showed them, didn't you, Tommy?
Yeah, I did. I got fired from there as well. Yeah. But the reason I like Bill Withers' Lovely Day is because it was a positive piece of music. And there's always that intriguing thing about how he managed to sustain that note as long as he did.
While we're here, I can do quite a good impression of the music of that song. Do you want to hear it?
Very much so.
I'm on the fence.
Not bad.
It's all right. It sounds like the song. It sounds like...
Yeah.
Are you one of these men who can also do a trumpet?
I can, yeah.
Go on, then. That's bloody good. That is really good. It sounds like one of those trumpets that's got that thing stuck in the end that the trumpeter opens and closes.
I've got an idea for the next hour. Yeah. I won't tell you, but we'll do the next hour.
Put it in the envelope.
Okay, here we go. You're listening to Radio Unexpected. And you can join in, of course, if you want to. The telephone number is It's 0344 499 1000. 0344 499 1000. Or you can tweet us. It's at Talk Radio. So, the question, let's ask the person who is responsible for this topic of conversation to join us in the studio. That is Scarlett.
She should take credit for this, in fairness.
And I'm pleased to say that I know Scarlett on such social terms, I don't know her second name.
Chappelle.
Yeah,
Chappelle.
As in Dave Chappelle.
How can she fail with a name like Scarlett Chappelle?
I know. It's written in the stars, isn't it?
It is.
Nominative determinism again.
Nominative determinism.
Yeah.
Again. Scarlett, welcome.
Hello.
Okay, so you came up with what is actually quite a ballsy, feisty topic for somebody to throw in front of a radio audience without a moment's notice. So thanks for that, but well done.
No worries, what would be a good laugh.
And what are your views on it, being, I presume, the youngest person here by distance?
When I was trying to get into university, I had to go to a lot of interviews, and I went to one university, and they asked me this question. They said, do you think radio is dying? And I said no, and I was like, I wouldn't be... In the back of my head, I was like, I wouldn't be here if it was. Like, I'd be stupid to turn up and go to university to do a three-year degree on radio if it was dying. I didn't say that. I ended up saying about how I think that... I think that it's so personal and it's so easily accessible that everyone feels like it's a part of their day.
Mm. It's intimate.
Mm, it really is, because I feel like when I listen to the radio, I feel like sometimes when they're talking to me and I feel like I'm involved. But I'm doing my daily stuff, like I'm getting ready for uni, I'm doing my makeup and doing my hair. And at the same time, I feel like I'm actually almost having a one-sided conversation.
Yeah. It's my favourite talk radio host outside this country is an American called Laura Ingraham. And she's about 52. She's, as an American broadcast woman, is tall and blonde and, she's a former lawyer. But I was listening to her the other day and she did a 48-minute long monologue and you couldn't stop listening to it because I felt as though she was talking to me.
Mm.
And it would have been rude. Now, when you get two people talking to each other on the radio, that, is, of course, can be extremely interesting, but they're not talking to you, so you don't feel it's a snub if you dial the dial and move away from it. And I was in the bath, which is bizarre, and yet I still felt as though Laura Ingraham was talking to me in my bathroom in the bath. And that's what you get if radio, I think, and TV are done right. It's the easiest on radio to be that kind of... one-to-one. Anybody ever watch Seinfeld?
I haven't.
You haven't? No worries.
I've seen episodes.
It's a well-known thing. It's got this kind of nothingness and a certain amount of wisdom in it. And Jerry Seinfeld was saying in one episode, and this stuck with me. He said, if I'm in the car and I've got a CD on and it's playing a song and I know that that song's coming on the radio as well, I'll turn the CD off because I enjoy it more when it's being played on the radio. And that's true, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's like when you hear the first, when you hear a song for the first time on the radio and you're like, oh, that's such a good song. And then you have to go out and find it.
Yeah.
And you heard it on the radio. You always remember, yeah. Where did you hear that first? You're like, oh, I heard it on so-and-so.
Yeah, yeah, that's interesting. Mm. Are you guys old enough? No, you'll never remember. Let's tell you what we'll do. I've got something which I naturally would think is very interesting to mention to you in just a second. But we'll pay the rent. It's 20 to 3, kind of. You're listening to Tommy Boyd in for John Holmes on Talk Radio.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Ah, yes. Ooh. Mrs. Wren says she's had a Midsummer Night's Dream. She dreamt that in June, all Wren kitchens are half price, with an extra 20% off. And a Neff dishwasher for just £179 when you buy five or more units. Ah, but then she woke up. And it was all true! All's well that ends well, eh, Mrs. Wren? So, fly down to your nearest branch of Wren Kitchens.
My thing? Popping on the Lycra and swallowing the odd insect. I'm into my cycling, you see. We meet every Sunday morning, 7:30 on the dot. We just planned a trip to the Alps, well, the Welsh Alps, so we need a new bike rack. It's got to keep four bikes safe on the roof whilst we plan our Tour de Wales in the car underneath.
Sounds like Ben's thing is a roof-mounted four-bike car carrier rack. Find your thing on eBay, the UK's number one online destination for car parts and accessories. eBay. Find your thing.
This is the sound of a man who unexpectedly fell into cold water and instinctively is trying to swim hard. This is the sound of the cold water shock making him gasp uncontrollably and breathe in water until he drowns. Whereas this is the sound of a man who fell into cold water and knows how to survive. You have to fight your instinct to swim and just float until the cold water shock has passed and you can control your breathing. This is a safety message from the RNLI. Float to live. Visit respectthewater.com.
Let's make more of the garden. Because right now at Wix, there's 3 for 2 across gardens and landscaping, including all decking and wood care. Wix, let's do it right. Exclusions apply.
Talk Radio, traffic and travel.
Problems on the northbound side of the M1 at the moment through Hertfordshire. It's due to a broken down vehicle. Recovery underway. A lane closed between 9 at Redbourne and 10 for Luton Airport Spur Road. The queue's back towards 6A at the M25. Southbound side of the M1 at South Yorkshire, lane closed due to a lorry which has broken down between 33 at Catcliffe and 32 for the M18 turn-off. And finally, in Devon, long queues this afternoon for the northbound side of the M5, 28 at Columpton, towards Weston-super-Mare.
Being an All Black is in their blood. Being a lion is in ours. The Lions Tour, live only on Sky Sports. To upgrade, search Sky Sports Summer.
The Paul Ross Marginal Mystery Tour is on the road.
Dude, where's my breakfast show?
Check the oil, kick the tyres, as the Paul Ross Breakfast Show takes the highway to the hustings. Join the nation's brightest breakfast crew on an early morning election road trip around the territories.
It's eggs in Edinburgh, muesli in Manchester, bacon sarnas in Birmingham, blueberry bagels in Brighton, and if we're lucky, cornflakes in Cardiff.
From Highland to Hard Shoulder, Paul Ross gets into the election connection cruiser and measures the mood of the nation on a week-long travelogue of live breakfast broadcasts.
Kicks off Monday morning from 6 live from the beach in Brighton.
The Paul Ross Marginal Mystery Tour on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
The Tommy Boyd Radio Experiment.
Tommy Boyd on Talk Radio.
In this hour of the programme, we're just welcome, by the way. Thank you for listening or podcasting. We have been talking about whether or not social media is set to kill off radio, whether radio is completely irrelevant. My view is that social media is certainly coming, and it is very empowering for everybody to be able to get their comment up there, whether you're Donald Trump or not Donald Trump. But radio, no, is not completely irrelevant. However, the senior producer amongst us, Cornelius, is really worried that we are disappearing up our own... the orifice that was discussed earlier in connection with the CIA surveillance tool. And therefore would like us to come down on radio a little bit in order to balance the books. Is that correct?
Yeah.
It's such a tedious piece of journalism. Balanced. Fair and balanced. Let's be fair and balanced, shall we? Our sister organisation, Fox, is fair and balanced, so we're fair and balanced. I don't think radio is being killed off by social media, but
no,
you want to...
It is.
Do you want to knock radio then?
Yeah. I think we're all going to be out of a job in 5 years' time.
I think you're out of a job by today, but...
No, it's just people don't carry around radios in their pockets, but they carry around mobile phones, which of course you can listen to radio on, but you're much more likely to look at Facebook and Twitter. Lots of people get their news from Facebook and Twitter. I feel it's even more intimate than radio because it's putting you in the driving seat. Everyone has a voice. You know, it's quite daunting to come on the radio and talk to some people. Send a tweet is so much less daunting.
Yeah, but you talk about being in the driving seat. He walked out. Tommy walked out on us yesterday. Scarlett and I could have stepped in and do it, but we were too scared to do it.
I gave him the opportunity to go ahead and do it. It's what happened to me. I went into my local radio station when I went down to Brighton to train initially to be a teacher. And
sorry, what?
To train to be a teacher.
You were going to be a teacher?
I am a teacher. That's my qualification. I'm a qualified lecturer in the theory of education, but don't ask. It's the only paper qualification I've got. I trained to be a teacher and I worked as a journalist for 2 years in Fleet Street and then got a job in children's television. Well, there you are. You know, you would.
Yeah, fair play.
But what happened was that they were doing an outside broadcast and I'd asked if I could go along and watch and help. And the lad who was doing it was a very nice lad. He could tell that I was interested in getting into radio. So he, halfway through the show, he just gave me the microphone and walked off. And I didn't have a chance to get scared or to wonder what I was going to say. I just had to get on with it. Mm. I remember the incident so clearly. I can even tell you that the microphone was a standard issue BBC 202, now seen only in the House of Commons. It's the microphone that they use there. Just to prove something or other by being pedantic.
That's a quiz question.
See, I do have my mobile phone and I do have an app called TuneIn, which allows you to listen to any radio station in the world, obviously including us. Mm. But I'm just, you're absolutely right, I've never done it.
Have you got the radio turned on now, Tommy?
I have. I've got it tuned.
Nine horn.
What's this?
Well, that is an ad that the radio station won't receive. That's an ad that precedes you being connected to the radio station. One of the things that I've never bothered to get in touch with, really, is all the bureaucracy and the commercial wheeling and dealing and the shareholding and the takeoveries. Takeoveries? We'll call it a word.
I'm going to leave it there.
Let's move on quickly. That's never really interested me enormously compared to what actually goes on air. But quite a lot of people in broadcasting have to stay up with all those sorts of things. And again, just threading it back to what we're talking about, you don't have to worry about corporate business if you've got an Instagram account or a Twitter account.
In fact, you can actually make your own Instagram or your Twitter account your own corporate business if you can garner enough followers.
Are people making money out of it?
Oh, yeah.
Huge really?
Amounts. Massive amounts.
Really?
Loads.
I've actually got a friend who's making money on YouTube at the moment.
With what?
He's just putting up videos of FIFA and some other games. And
like
then,
the most inane things in the world.
And he makes about £200 a month just doing that.
Okay, that's something, isn't it?
It's
you can't
like
live
whole...
on £200 a month, but
there's some
presumably.
Have you heard of? Is it Zoella?
Yeah,
Zoella. Yeah, she's a millionaire now.
What was her thing?
Makeup YouTube videos and she's just little small ones. The first one she did was to bring 22 things that she loved around her room into the video shot. So she just used to walk around and grab things, lift it up, and then she'd edit it so that it said like her favorite thing while some music played. And it started off like that.
So what's this got then that conventional broadcasting television and radio
intimacy.
Has intimacy?
And that's where Trump's radio as well, because she's in her own bedroom. Mm. And she's doing all these things that are accessible. You and, well, okay, maybe not you and I have, but Scarlett definitely. Well, I have some of those things in my bedroom as well. But it's that level of intimacy that you can say, right, I'm in my own home now, and I'm broadcasting into your own home.
And so you can share the experience. And as a viewer or a listener, you can get it when you want it.
Yeah.
And if you don't want it, then you'll go on to something else.
And whereas, same as Twitter and Instagram and Snapchat and all of those are the ones.
Conventional
as well.
Radio and television. It delivers you the schedule.
Yes, structured.
Yeah.
Yes,
why are almost every television programme half an hour? Why?
Isn't something to do with the average attention span?
I was going to say that, yeah.
No, I'd argue that's just to make it easily fit into a schedule.
Yeah, exactly. So that when you're making a television programme, there are times when you go, oh, if only we had 33 minutes.
Mm.
Or, oh, God, we can't really do more than 27 today. But it doesn't matter, you've got to do 30. Well, actually, not 30, because a television half hour is 27 minutes, 30 seconds.
Although in the States, it's even shorter again. It's about 21, 22 minutes because they build in the ad block so much.
Now, here comes a $64,000 question right here. And I've asked this before of people almost as intelligent as the three people I have in the room with me.
Nice.
Why are all pop songs 3 minutes and a bit?
They're actually getting longer. If you look back, the original pop song was about 2 to 2.5 minutes. Now you're looking at 3.5 to 4.5 minutes for
but
a song.
Why?
Is that because of the videos? Because the videos then can be longer and it's more of a theatrical experience. And therefore, hence, going back to the social media sharing and share alike and all of that kind of business.
I have a theory.
Go on.
Well, when songs stopped being classical music, which was probably about around about the turn of the last century, okay, what happened was that people went to dances. Now, they used to dance before, but you had big bands and they used to dance. And your only way, the only way that a couple could sort of introduce themselves to each other was by the gentleman crossing the dance floor and saying, may I have the pleasure of this dance?
That is a long walk.
It's a long, you've done it.
Yeah.
Have you done it, Cornelius? The walk across the dance floor?
Asking, yeah, asking. I once asked a girl if she. I said, would you like to dance with me at a nightclub at university? And she just went, are you from the olden times?
Woohoo! What's the worst rejection you've ever had, Michael?
I can't think of anything off the top of my head. They're so dashing. There definitely have been, I can assure you of that, but none immediately spring to mind. None were so dastardly that they destroyed my core.
Well, what happened to me, and it put me off the whole thing, I never did it again, was a resounding roar of laughter from all five girls in the group.
Oh.
Because it turned out they were playing a game. And the game was, which of them could get the first bloke to walk across and say, would you like... Could I have the honour of whatever I said, you see? Which I didn't, in retrospect, I didn't mind it, because generally speaking, it's tougher being a woman than a man sitting around waiting for somebody to come and ask. At least we have the option of going and saying, would you dance with me?
And there's been a whole host of other issues since.
But here's the thing. Supposing that song that the dance band were playing, supposing that song was 20 minutes long, you couldn't do it, could you? So what's about the right amount of time to make up your mind, girl and boy, whether you'd like to have another dance or buy each other a drink or see each other tomorrow night. It's about 3 minutes, isn't it? It's make your mind up time. And as a consequence of that being make your mind up time being 3 minutes at a dance hall.
Yeah.
Almost every pop record that's ever been made is roughly that duration. That's my theory. Let's rush to the phones. I've got a caller on line one. It's Nick. Hey, Nick.
Hello.
Hey.
Very, very interested with your discussion on the fate of radio and social media. Well, social media is rubbish in that it just distracts you all the time and makes you feel sad. Whereas radio, it's like a friend there in the house. You can put it on, or you can have it on while you're doing other things, and it's there. It's like it's intimate.
Yes, there's some camaraderie. What are you doing?
Sorry, I'm doing the washing up.
I was going to say, you're stacking in the dishwasher.
How much more have you got to do?
Well, there's only a little bit left.
Oh, don't let her stop you, please.
I just had my lunch.
What are you washing up at 3 o'clock in the afternoon?
Well, I just had my lunch. Had some beans on toast.
Well, that's not much washing up there, is there, really?
No, it's not.
See, what I do, if I'm having beans on toast...
It can be done later.
If you're cooking beans nowadays, you just microwave them, and then you don't have to wash up a pan. All the kids
no,
are
well,
nodding.
I've never it's been a microwaver.
No.
It's not the same. You don't get... Just to heat them isn't enough. You've got to get that mushiness that comes from a slightly extended simmer. Yes.
Vegetarian lunch as well.
Yes, vegetarian. Well done, Nick, if you were listening in the first hour.
I didn't actually hear the first hour. I went for a swim.
That's probably pretty wise. You should have rung us up while you were swimming.
You'd
have needed one of those bits of kit that the CIA use. So with the washing up, Nick, can I just ask, and thank you for bringing up this important topic, do you actually use a tea towel to dry those utensils now, or are you going to let them just drip dry?
They are dripping dry, and I will just put them away in a little while when they are dry.
But it's annoying, isn't it? Because then you've got to walk away and leave them, knowing that there's a job still to be done. Whereas if you flash the tea towel, you can get the job done and the kitchen square, and you can go off and enjoy yourself with an empty mind.
Well, I do have a tea towel. I don't use it, but yeah.
You don't
Maybe
use
I'll,
it.
Maybe I'll try that. Is that your advice?
I'll give you lots of advice if you want. here we go. I know. Do you ever make tea in a teapot?
Only on special occasions when you want to show off.
So you've got a teapot?
Normally.
Have you got a tea? I do have, yes. Okay. Do you have a tea cozy?
No tea cozy.
Okay. They're rapidly falling out of favour, tea cozies. I know that Cornelius...
Well, to be honest, the teapot's on a shelf and never really comes up.
No, not really, no. And you put tea bags in it, don't you, which almost, you know, defeats the object.
Yeah, yeah. I've got some friends who I visit, whenever I go around, they always use a teapot and they have a tea cozy.
Right, good.
It comes out and they put it on the table.
Yeah, that's where I want to get. I'm just giving you advice. Giving you advice here, Nick. This is gold dust, this, mate. You'd have to pay for it anywhere else. Get yourself a tea cosy. When someone comes round and you have to get the teapot out, you take the tea cosy off, and before you start pouring the tea, you put it on your head. And it always works. It just always works. And it's nice and warm, too. So I think you found this call more nutritious than you expected, Nick, haven't you, with all that advice and warmth and kindness.
Well, thank you. Well, I expected nothing less, really.
Nice talking to you. What a nice man.
Lovely.
We've had some nice people on this week, haven't we?
We have, actually, yeah.
The wonderful hour is racing towards us. That will be after... That's going to be good.
That's going to be good.
That's going to be after the news, which is coming up next here on Talk Radio.
Election 2017 on Talk Radio.
MP or not MP? That is the question.
I still think I was the best candidate.
Join the conversation party.
Talk Radio.
There's a brilliant alternative to owning a car. With more freedom than leasing, it's better by far. Europe Car's new long-term rental deal is the stress-free way to get behind the wheel. Delivery's free, collection is too. There's no lengthy forms or hoops to jump through. You'll get a great mileage allowance and complimentary valets, plus the chance to switch cars every 28 days. Get complete peace of mind for a fixed monthly fee. Add unlimited drivers, that's also free. For the best rental service, may we recommend long-term hire from Europe Car, your flexible four-wheeled friend. Get long-term car hire from as little as £317 a month with a deposit of just £70. Book now at europecar.co.uk/long-term. Terms and conditions apply.
Great news, Mrs. Wilkes. For her first swimming lesson, she did very well. Didn't you, Josie?
Yes, I swam all on my own, Mummy.
Good girl. And does she also learn the reverse 1.5 somersaults in the pike position?
Like getting your money's worth? Grab a tasty double cheeseburger. Just £1.49 from the McDonald's Saver menu. From 10:30 a.m, price of participation may vary.
Punching the air, Sally jumps out of her Renault traffic van. Winning her second gardening contract feels even better than the first. Topiary has a new champion. Renault Pro Plus vans are trusted as the logistics partner to the Renault Sport Formula One team, delivering vital components day in, day out. See how the award-winning Renault Pro Plus range can power your team with reliability and aftercare service you can count on. Visit one of our Renault Pro Plus specialist dealers to find out more.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
We are Talk.
Talk Radio. Give it some lip.
Talk Radio.
Hello. 3 o'clock, time for the news with Victoria Bourne.
Thanks, Tommy. Coming up, developments in arena probe. Trump criticised over climate. And Heath Ledger's dad calls for action on prescription drugs.
Talk Radio.
Police in Manchester say they found a car which could be significant to the arena bombing investigation. Several properties have also been evacuated near to where it was discovered. It comes as people trying to resell tickets for Sunday's charity gig for victims have been condemned. One eBay seller tried to make more than £1,000 of profit from selling 4 tickets before the listing was removed. Annabella Coldrick, the chief executive of the Music Managers Forum, has told Talk Radio it's right that touts aren't allowed to operate.
The resale sites, which on previous occasions have allowed tickets like Teenage Cancer Trust tickets to be resold, in this occasion they're not allowing that. And it's really good news that Viagogo and Get Me In and Seatwave and all the others are accepting that, particularly because this is such an important charity benefit concert, that it should not be one where people profit.
World leaders have pledged to defend the Paris Climate Change Agreement without the help of the US president. Donald Trump has pulled out of the international deal to cut carbon emissions, saying it's to protect Americans. Climate change skeptic Lord Nigel Lawson has told Talk Radio countries like China and India are ignoring the agreement anyway.
They signed up to it because it is not legally binding, so they don't have to take a blind bit of notice of it, and they're not. They're going ahead increasing their coal-fired power station capacity hand over fist.
A Conservative candidate's due in court next month, charged over his campaign expenses in the 2015 general election. Craig McKinley is standing for re-election in South Thanet next week. The Tories say they believe the allegation is unfounded. Dozens have died in what police say was a botched casino robbery in the Philippines. The gunman set himself on fire after the raid in Manila. And Heath Ledger's father wants there to be greater monitoring of prescription medicines to tackle what he says is a world problem of addiction to such drugs. The actor died aged 28 in 2008 after taking an accidental overdose.
Talk Radio National Weather.
Sunshine and showers this afternoon. Hot in London and the southeast, though, with a chance of some thundery downpours. Highs of 26 degrees.
Talk Radio Sports Update.
I'm Ben Fletcher. Good afternoon. Former Arsenal captain Tony Adams says it's unlikely Arsene Wenger can win a Premier League title during the 2 years of his new contract. The Gunners boss agreed extended terms this week. Adams, who won the title 4 times with Arsenal, thinks it'll be some time before his old club are champions once again.
The league doesn't lie. You know, they've come fifth this year and they have to have some extra recruits, I think, in the summer to go forward. I think your cup games are very different. You can do it for a one-off, but over the course of the season, they've been found wanting. And will that improve in the next 2 years? I'm not sure. I don't think it will.
On to cricket. England all-rounder Chris Wokes has been ruled out of the Champions Trophy with a side strain. A replacement's yet to be called up. Finally, racing. The Epsom Derby meeting gets underway this afternoon. Talk Sport will bring you full commentary of the Coronation Cup, which is getting underway shortly, and the Oaks, in which Rhododendron is the favourite. That's the latest sports news, powered by Talk Sport.
Talk Radio.
Across the UK, online and on DAB. The Tommy Boyd Radio Experiment. For those about to talk, we salute you.
Tommy Boyd on Talk Radio.
It's Friday afternoon, and Friday afternoon always works. I don't think there's anybody on planet Earth who's not touched by Friday. It's one of the interesting things that it doesn't matter which country you're in, it's the same day of the week, isn't it?
Yeah, isn't pretty it? Much. Yeah, yeah. Hours either side, isn't there, where the days
thing.
Turn at different points. But yeah, most
the
of the
on American radio, they just say it's 10 after, even if it's syndicated across the whole of the United States, because wherever you are, it's either 10 after 5 or 10 after 6 or 10 after 4 or 10 after 3. And it's the same the world over, isn't it? Everybody is hearing the news on the top of the hour, right around planet Earth, on all the radio stations at the same moment. Except one country, where the time difference is 15 minutes out. I don't know why this is. It's someone in those little countries that nestles at the foot of the Himalayas, like Bhutan or somewhere, okay?
Yeah?
Yeah. And see, at the moment, it is 3:04 in the United Kingdom. And it is 4 minutes past somewhere, everywhere on Earth.
Yeah, yeah.
On a Friday. Might be a Friday midnight, might be a Friday dawn, but it's 4 minutes past something on a Friday everywhere, pretty much. Except this country, where it's just gone 20 past. Why? I don't know, but I like it. And as we begin to separate our country from the rest of the world in so many ways, maybe we will actually start having a different time zone, driving on the wrong side of the road, being the only people who weigh stones. What do you weigh, Cornelius? You don't know, do you?
I don't know. No, I don't own a set of scales.
But do you do it in stones and pounds, or do you do it in kilograms?
Yeah, stones and pounds, I think. Yeah.
Of course you do. And the rest of the world likes us for the fact that we've got these idiosyncrasies, do not think.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's wonderful. And this is the wonderful hour, along with some other strands, which we will incorporate alongside celebrations of things that are wonderful. So, to kick off, Fridays are wonderful.
Yeah.
They just are. Mm. Right from when you're a child at school and it's Friday and pretty soon the bell's going to go.
And it's the final one for like 2 days.
Oh, and you just got some freedom to yourself.
Yeah.
You don't have to put the uniform on. And then it's going to be fish and chips for tea. And then Ready, Steady, Go is on afterwards. And then you get a lie-in in the morning. And then you go to Fulham in the afternoon. It's just wonderful. So that's the first thing. All we're doing is celebrating the things that are wonderful. Why? Because life is very short. Probably doesn't end as you'd like it. But in between, it's important to be as happy as you can. That's a very hard thing to do, isn't it, dear gentle listener? A hard thing to do. But during the wonderful hour, we just celebrate some of the little tiny things that you scarcely notice. But if you want to give yourself a boost, just think about how lovely they are. I'll tell you what's wonderful. I get picked up from a station when I get home after I've had an afternoon at Talk Radio. My wife buzzes over and picks me up. And it just lifts my spirits the last 10 minutes of the journey to know that, unlike everybody else who's got to get on a bus or walk to the car park and get their keys out and go, doot-doot, I don't. I just get to flop in the passenger seat next to her. By the way, on that, do you own a car, Cornelius?
No, I don't. I can't drive.
Good for you, man.
Thank you.
You can't drive.
No, I can't drive. I haven't got, a licence. Not allowed to drive. I can move vehicles, but... But not legally.
Your presence of mind, is it?
I do know how to drive a car, but I'm not road safe to drive a car.
Now, you see, you've become the personification of one of my favourite jokes in Shaun of the Dead.
Okay.
Where he says, Shaun, to the nerdy boyfriend.
Oh, yeah.
Come on, we can make it across town. Give us the keys to your car. And he replies, sniffily, I don't think you really need a car if you live in London. Which is just such... Which is what you're giving
that's
us here,
exactly,
Cornelius.
That is exactly my thought thing. And also...
But you still need to learn and, you know, be qualified. One never knows when one might need to
get in a car. Yeah, but at the same time, I'm all right for now. And me, my friends will take it in turns to be the designated driver on a night out sometimes. It's never me.
That is smart.
It is never me.
I go along with that. That is smart.
Mm.
The only way I can conceivably join you on that one is to get myself banned. Which is also...
Terrible,
you know,
idea, we should say.
On the roads...
Would not recommend.
Well, on the roads, if I was Prime Minister, I would suggest a curfew, a sort of moratorium hour from 11 o'clock at night until midnight.
Mm.
You can drive whatever state you're in. And if you go out there on your bike, then you take your chances. You know what you're getting into.
No.
Moving swiftly on, you drive, Michael.
Yeah, yeah.
You got a car?
Not presently, but I have had ownership of a car.
And so you've had a set of keys and you've had a dongle that goes beep.
Oh, no, when I bought it, mine was a second-hand car.
Oh, okay.
It may one time have gone boop, okay. But it did not by the time I was finished with it.
Well, let me share something with you then. It's amazing to watch men in particular leaving their car, okay? Because they park their car, right, they get all their stuff, they close all the doors and they walk away from the car. And then about 10 paces away from the car, they spin round like a gunslinger and they point their thing at the car and they go... And you don't have to do that. You can keep it in your pocket and go boop. It is not directional. It's not a rifle or a handgun, which is what they like to do. You watch.
But that's the closest thing we're allowed to have to a handgun of these days.
No, it isn't. The closest thing you can have that's like a handgun is a television remote.
Ooh, oh, yeah.
That is a power. Actually, sorry. Speaking of, we were talking about this in the office later on, about television remotes. I can't remember why. Somebody called it a clicker.
Yes, clicker. I've heard it called a clicker.
Really? We both reacted with surprise.
In derision. Remote control.
That's such a long set of syllables.
Well, I say remote.
Could you pass me the remote control?
Well, I say remote.
Remote. Okay. Mm. And what else is there? Thingy? The thingy?
Oh, the Yokimi Bob.
The Yokimi Bob. What's it called? Now, what you do, right, when you're really bored and you've got two clickers, sorry, remotes, right?
Or zappers.
You get your eldest son, and he's presumably as equally bored as you.
Yeah.
And you do, you know the old Gunslingers of the West used to have a duel, right? So you each put your remote in your pocket, right? And you stand up, okay? And you stand opposite the television, and you go, I'm calling you, Marshall. And what you do is, he has to turn to BBC One, and you have to turn to ITV. And so whoever clicks first, you know, you can easily decide who would have lived and who would have died in the gunfight.
That poor television.
Well, the average man sitting and watching television on the average evening, especially if he's alone, how many times do we click over?
Yeah, that's a good point. Mm.
Do you know what the attention span, the official attention span of an American TV viewer is, according to American TV networks? 2.7 seconds.
What?
Yes. When I started in television, there were no remotes.
Yeah.
You had 3 minutes in which to bore the viewer because they'd have to get up out of their chair, walk across the living room, over the dog.
I used to hear them.
Turn over.
Oh, I hear them.
Go back and sit down and see what's on the other side.
I was my dad's personal, do you know, remote control.
Oh, did he used to tell you to turn over?
Yeah. We'd four channels. This is in Ireland in the 90s. We'd four channels. Michael, turn that TV over there, will you? Didn't like it. Turn it back again. Dad, please.
Yeah.
No.
So we had 3 minutes then, and then came the remote. And what they discovered by doing research was that you got 2.7 seconds before the viewer wants to see something else.
Mm.
So they got around that by having three cameras on, say, two people hosting, let's say, you know, GMTV or Breakfast TV. OK, so it goes, and we're coming to the studio and wide shot of the two of them. 1, 2.7 and close up on Eamon. 1, 2.7 and close up on Judy. And 2.7 and back to the wide shot.
Wow.
2.7 And so that way you can sort of prevent subliminally the viewer thinking, I'm bored with this.
Yeah.
Because you turn over for him or her. Well, mostly him. How many homes is the woman, in how many homes is the female allowed to touch the remote control?
Oh, mine, unfortunately.
Really?
My parents, my mum rules the roost. My dad has to watch.
You people
the
are
worst
very modern.
Television.
My girlfriend, I've got scar ones, I'm not going to lie. My arms are...
I'm going to ask the... it's interesting, it's kind of sexist, really, because there's the men in here.
Yeah.
In the studio. Michael and Cornelius and myself. And, you know, the female... That's a question, actually. Chloe.
Hello.
In terms that are acceptable to you, are you a female, a woman or a lady?
Well...
Because it's a huge thing in sport. It's women's tennis. Yeah.
Well, scientifically,
it's ladies golf,
I'm a female, yeah.
And ladies football.
Yeah, so what? I'm all of them.
Do you care?
Would
you be offended if I called you a lady?
It's better than being called like a bird.
Isn't that absolutely right. Bird. I hate that. It was once quoted of me saying birds in a newspaper article, and I hadn't said it. I had this stupid haircut. I looked like... It was an afro. I had an afro. Yeah. And the worst of having an afro was that I was sitting on the bus in Brighton going home, having had the afro installed. And
you say you went to Brighton to get it in that?
It's the only place that did them. And sitting on the bus opposite me was a pop star you've never heard of called Leo Sayer. And Leo Sayer pioneered the afro look.
Yeah, yeah.
And he sat opposite me and he had this grin growing on his face because he thought that I had got an afro because I wanted to look like Leo Sayer. Completely true story. But they said, they quoted me as saying, I like my hair like this because the birds go for it in a big way. And I was going out with my girlfriend, now wife, at the time, and her dad said, do you realise what you're getting into here? You've got a boyfriend who calls women birds. And I never did. Tip of the iceberg, that one. But anyway,
I think you may have said it, but with an afro, you're thinking literal birds might nest in your hair.
Ah. You see, now, I was in a nightclub listening to some R&B, and I was one of the few people there who was white. And that was fantastic. That was fine. At the time, I was a smoker. And trying to look cool, I flicked my cigarette to just lose a little bit of the ash. And the burning end of the cigarette flew off and landed on this chap's genuine afro. And he was a big guy. And I was faced with, do I say anything? You know the smell of burning hair?
Yeah.
That was beginning to get noticeable. And he didn't know that it was him and that a cigarette end was burning its way down towards his scalp. I'm seriously digressing here.
Yes.
I want to go back to Scarlett and ask her, what am I asking her?
The term by which you would like to be described.
Yeah. No, I thought it was remote controls, wasn't it? Who rules the roost of remote controls?
But before we get there, actually, Scarlett, no offence, Chloe, but Scarlett, you might be young enough to still get called a girl?
I don't particularly like it, but I don't really like being called woman.
No.
Like, I like being called female or lady, but the word woman... I really don't like it, to be honest.
Yeah, because I've had that conversation with female friends of mine, let's go with that for now, and I can't get a conclusive answer on it. Do you know? Particularly given within a certain, you know, age group, they don't call girls, they don't call women. Where are you going to go?
Chloe, I might have offended you. Do you still get called girl?
Yeah, quite a lot.
You don't mind it?
No, I actually, no.
Will you reach an age where you would like to go back to being called a girl?
About
sort of 27.
What? Sorry?
About sort of 27.
That's very generous. I don't mind that either. I guess it kind of makes me feel youthful.
Okay. And do you get to use the remote much in your house?
Yeah, it's pretty equal rights in my house, yeah.
Very, very modern. That's even more modern than the other modern.
Yeah.
Perhaps there's a market for his and hers, isn't there?
Yeah, but you know what? She'd still find a way to sabotage it.
True enough.
His and hers television sets.
Or just his and hers remotes, never mind the television sets.
Scarlett, do you ever get to use the remote?
Yeah, I actually live with my boyfriend, and we're actually really good because we have our own programmes that we watch separately, and then we've got programmes that we watch together. So we only watch our together programmes together, and you have to watch your separate programmes when the other person is out.
I hear a long-standing relationship in the making here, then, if you've got that organised. Just quickly, what are the programmes that you like to watch together? That's going to be interesting.
At the moment, we're making our way through Once Upon a Time.
Oh, OK.
Which we're both actually really into, but other things we've watched, we've done the whole of Big Bang Theory, we've watched the whole Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Wow.
We do like big series and we watch all of them.
What's your record for back-to-back viewings? An hour and then another hour? Because they just come up, don't they?
Oh, we're awful.
The next episode will start in 20 seconds unless you think, come on.
Easily sat up till 3 a.m. still watching, going, we've got to be at work at 10. And it's like, oh, yeah.
Well, I'm going to say that's wonderful. And this is the wonderful hour. Sort of immersed in various other dubious liquids. So if you want to join in, you can give us a call. If you want to tweet something, that is wonderful, such as, I love this, Churchill said, he was asked what's wonderful, and he replied, hot baths and cold champagne. Which is not bad, is it? It's Tommy Boyd in for John Holmes. This is The Wonderful Hour on Talk Radio.
Election 2017 on Talk Radio.
The manifestos, the mandates, the mother of all radio stations.
I mean, why shouldn't the public know more about what's going on?
Talk Radio.
Are you serious?
Have you seen my keys anywhere?
Are they in the dining room?
Nope.
Library?
Nope.
Indoor pool?
Nope.
Outdoor pool?
Nope.
Tennis courts?
Ah,
nicer problems to have. This Friday, there's a £131 million jackpot. And two guaranteed UK millionaires. EuroMillions. Only from the National Lottery. Estimated jackpot. Rules and procedures apply. Players must be 16 or over.
Hi, I'm here to trade in my trainers.
Trade in your trainers?
Yeah, they're really old. Didn't buy them here. Seen better days, to be honest. I wouldn't get too close. I want to put them towards some lovely new ones.
Sorry, sir. We don't do that.
Really? Vauxhall do?
I just got £2,000 from Isle Banger to put towards a brand new car.
Yes, you can afford a new car. Scrap your old car, and on top of our other great offers, we'll give you £2,000 scrappage to put towards a shiny new Vauxhall. Visit your local retailer or search Vauxhall Scrappage for more information. Trading car registered in your name for at least 90 days. Offer available to individuals and small businesses. UK supplied vehicles only. Exclusions apply. Limited time at participating retailers. Full T's and C's apply.
When the McCulloch man mows his lawn with his McCulloch lawnmower, he powers through even the toughest grass with one goal in mind, to finish the job before the match starts. And with his McCulloch lawnmower, he's got the power to get the job done. That's why his mates envy his lawn, as well as his team. Get your McCulloch lawnmower and other garden power tools at good DIY stores nationwide or at McCulloch.com. McCulloch, the power to get the job done.
Talk Radio, traffic and travel.
The northbound M5 in Worcestershire, well, that's really busy heading from junction 8 at the M50 to junction 7 at Worcester. One lane's blocked by an accident. The back of the queue's to junction 10 at Cheltenham. So delays of over half an hour. The M62 westbound through West Yorkshire, that's queuing approaching junction 24 at Ainley Top after an accident earlier on, but all lanes have now reopened. The A55 in North Wales, as you head east, there's a lane blocked just after junction 32A at Pentray Halkin. So that's causing long queues on the approach heading from Wales towards England. I'm Mark Underhill.
Being an All Black is in their blood. Being a Lion is in ours. The Lions Tour, live only on Sky Sports. To upgrade, search Sky Sports Summer.
Talk Radio. Dial up some dialogue.
Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Tommy
Boyd.
Tommy Boyd on Talk Radio.
It's a wonderful hour. This is wonderful, isn't it? Go on. Can I just see those sheep safely grazing? What else? What other pictures do you get, men, of this?
Hills.
Rolling hills, yeah.
Yeah.
Basically the sound of music.
I've got a beautiful young woman coming along on a bicycle.
Yeah, that's me.
Yeah.
Birds.
Oh, yeah.
Whoa, is that you?
Yeah.
That's very good.
Oh, it gets better. I can do a pigeon.
Oh, yes, please. Wonderful.
And look. Look, coming out from the side of the barn. Isn't it a man with a trumpet? Right, that's enough of that. I'll tell you what's wonderful, or who's wonderful, is Bruce Forsyth.
Mm. Oh, try telling my nan that.
Really?
Oh, she...
I thought everybody loved Bruce.
She hates him.
Really? I didn't think that was possible. How can you hate Bruce Forsyth? What's the matter with your nan? Was it the war or something?
I have no idea, but she goes... Nah, it's just... She always says, she's something about him.
All right. My view is that Bruce Forsyth is so wonderful and he's given the nation so much pleasure that very soon, for all sorts of reasons, we should have a National Bruce Forsyth Day. Mm. In which, for the whole morning, everybody, unless they want to pay a forfeit, fine, has to sound like Bruce Forsyth.
I can imagine Julie Hartley Brewer trying to do that.
Why? Can she do Bruce Forsyth?
No. I don't know, but I want to find out.
Julia Hartley Brewer doing Bruce Forsyth. It sounds something like this. Hang on. Oh, no, I can't do it. It's the chin thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Can you do Bruce Forsyth? Can anybody do Bruce Forsyth at all? That's very good for a man who is genetically indisposed to Bruce Forsyth.
No, what does he normally say? Welcome to Strictly Come Dancing.
That's it. That's good.
But Claudia. He always goes, Claudia.
But wouldn't it be nice if, you know, you went into your corner shop and you said, could I have a pint of milk, please, and a Daily Express? And the person behind the fire, and they go, that'll be £1.42. That'd be fantastic. It'd be better than comic relief. I'm not going to
I watched Comic Relief for the first time this year because, as listeners may or may not realise, I'm not of this land. Oh. Don't hold it against me. Is it sacrilege if I say I didn't kind of get it?
No, because I don't get it. And they're stuck with it, the people that do it.
Yeah, I mean, I get the fantastic cause.
No arguments there.
But
it needs a gear change.
A little
or
bit.
Or indeed replaced by another charity thing that does the same, maybe works for the same charities, but has a slightly different format. One of the things that I find annoying about it is it does seem to liberate a lot of people who don't really have much of a sense of humour, provided they're going to carry around a plastic bucket.
Yeah.
They can dress as they like and be characters.
Yeah, it just didn't seem to kind of...
You're talking about the telethon itself, the actual show. You don't find it that entertaining. Is that what you're saying?
I was looking forward to the Love Actually skit that they were going to do.
Still haven't seen it, so no spoilers.
I don't have to spoil it. They did it themselves. It didn't quite work. But then again, it was chasing something that was pretty special, wasn't it? Because it was funny, Love Actually. And apparently it's the new Christmas... film of choice worldwide. It's a Wonderful Life.
Yeah, I love that movie, Christmas.
So Bruce Forsyth is wonderful. We're agreed on that. Have you guys managed to jot down a few little things that warm the cockles of your heart?
You know what? I have.
Excellent.
Right, now I'm going to say the word hole punch.
Huh?
The words hole punch. And there's two excellent things about it. Absolute beauty. Yeah. Is the actual process of pushing down a hole punch and putting the holes in paper. I find so relaxing.
Yeah.
And B, I think there's nothing more beautiful than the delicate, perfectly formed circles that are tiny.
Get that music up again.
Get collected at the bottom of a hole punch. And it's so weird to think something so mundane as, you know, putting... a hole in a piece of paper for admin purposes can produce something so beautiful and delicate and so nice to hold and run through your fingers.
It is sensual,
and you just want to run around, fling it about, but you can't because that'll make a mess.
And paper cuts.
No, because they're so perfectly circle, I don't think you will get a...
Oh, you can.
Really?
And isn't it satisfying when the twin jaws of the file perfectly fit the holes that you have just punched. It doesn't chew the sides of them at all. It goes straight in on both sides. And because there's a semi-transparent base to the hole punch, you can tell when it needs emptying.
And I like when it's only a tiny bit full and you sort of shake the hole punch and it's like having a little snow globe in your office. Oh, it's beautiful. I wish that we worked in a more admin-based job just for that reason.
You're the kind of guy who could spend a long time wandering around a stationer's shop, aren't you?
Yeah, definitely. Lovely.
Look at all those pens.
Yeah, especially like not... There's some stationers like Smith's that they do a lot of stuff. They like do books as well. But there's other ones where it is just stationery, like a Ryman's or anything.
I was
going
to say Ryman's, that's your...
Yeah, they're great to walk around.
Absolutely, those hardback exercise books.
I've never been to a full Staples. I think, you know, in America they have these big Staples warehouses. I reckon I could spend hours.
Oh, we've got one.
Have you?
Oh, yeah, but it's just been taken over, and I don't know what's going to happen to it. It's been bought out by, it's back to this business of never quite knowing who owns which business you're working for or you're buying something in. But, yeah, I can just roam around Staples.
Yeah, beautiful.
For ages.
Yeah, it's better than a garden centre.
It is. Yeah. It is. Although there are people who will just go to a garden centre, like there are men who will look at books of maps. And other people who will just look at books of recipes. They won't cook any of them, but they'll just read them.
I saw someone reading a book of recipes on the train the other day.
Fantastic.
I know. I thought it was a bit odd, but fair play. If that's what relaxes them.
At the end of every TV chef programme we ever watch, whether it's Jamie or Rick Stein or whoever it is, at the end of it, when they finally have got the recipe done, my wife looks over her glasses at me and she always says the same thing. I bet that's quite nice.
Yeah.
Does she cook it?
See, you
can finish that
sentence
any way you want.
Following on from that. So, again, going back to my other half, she's bought loads of those. She recently found out she's gluten intolerant, which has been a joyous occasion for all concerned. But she's bought a lot of relevant cookbooks. And there have been meals cooked from them, and she chooses out what she wants to eat out of them. Does she cook them? No.
No. Interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
You're listening to The Wonderful Hour. This is Tommy Boyd in for John Holmes. It's Talk Radio. We're going to get the news now from Victoria Bourne.
Talk Radio.
Prince William has made a private visit to Manchester Children's Hospital to meet concert terror attack victims and their families. The Duke also heard from those involved in the response to the atrocity which happened at the end of an Ariana Grande gig last week. Here's PC David Lawrenson.
I think the fact that the Duke is a professional air ambulance pilot, it's good the fact that he's got experience in this line of work and knew exactly what he was talking about. It felt a bit more personal.
Donald Trump is facing widespread criticism for pulling out of an international deal to stave off climate change. World leaders are lining up to condemn the USA, but Theresa May's comment that she's disappointed has been attacked by Labour as being too weak. The Conservative candidates who defeated Nigel Farage in the 2015 general election has been charged over allegations relating to his election expenses. 50-year-old Craig McKinley insists he's done nothing wrong. Sir Ian McKellen has joined a protest outside the Russian embassy against the persecution of gay men in Chechnya. They had to join hundreds of people in London demanding Moscow takes action against those responsible. Russian media outlets say around 100 gay people have been abducted, tortured and even killed in a purge in the region. And more than 200 people have complained to the TV regulator after Amanda Holden wore a revealing dress on last night's Britain's Got Talent. Some viewers tweeted saying they thought she'd put it on back to front. The weather, heavy showers in the southeast will eventually ease this evening, leaving most areas dry, lows of 9 degrees. Tomorrow, fresher weather will follow with some sunny spells. Occasional showers are possible. Feeling warm again with highs of 21. There's more in half an hour.
Drive with Yasmin Khan on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
I'm Yasmin Khan and you can join me every Friday on Talk Radio from 4pm with your essential one-stop guide to everything that's hot for the weekend. We'll tell you where to go and what to see.
Entertaining debate, big name guests and outspoken opinions.
Drive with Yasmin Khan this afternoon from 4.
On Talk Radio, we'll get you talking.
The Tommy Boyd Radio Experiment.
Tommy Boyd on Talk Radio.
It's the wonderful hour between 3 o'clock and 4. We've got some other bits of business going on alongside. For example, Scarlett will be in shortly with today's how-to. But the main theme is what's wonderful, things that are wonderful, just celebrating them, noticing them. You don't... I'll tell you something that's wonderful. It's heading west. And there's probably a good reason for this, but I like going west. I'm nervous going east. I don't feel as though I'm heading towards sunshine and golden beaches and freedom.
So this is on quite a big scale. So
I think so. Yeah, I think that we in Britain, British Isles, whichever part, we are all descendants from humans who were lured west. We started out in Ethiopia, and by the time we got past the Middle East, our ancestors, millions of years ago, just kept heading west, didn't they? That's how come there was human life on these wonderful shores. So it's endemic in us to head west. And if I'm in the car and we're going down to, here, the West Country. What? Just say it, the West Country. They don't talk about the East Country, do they?
No.
You know, I've got nothing against Lincolnshire. Sure, it's a fabulous place, but it doesn't have any of the romance of Devon or Dorset. I feel for the people in Cornwall because they can't go further west, except, of course, to go to Ireland.
Yeah, well, let's not get into that now.
Which should be a given, you know. So, yeah, what's wonderful heading west? Cornelia says that what's wonderful is a hole punch.
Just not the hole punch itself, just the joy it brings.
Mm.
Just the, It stays as well. A hole punch, very reliable product.
Are you
some
always...
like staplers, they break quite a lot.
Oh, yeah, no, finicky little things, aren't they?
Yes, but hole punch, you know, that's with you for years.
Yeah,
you don't have that hole punch anymore because you've lost it, not because it's broken.
Yeah.
And on the obverse of that is that we all have one of those little machines that you get given to take staples out of documents.
Oh, the little...
It looks like a little pterodactyl.
Like, yeah, it looks like an angry little machine.
It does. All you need to do is get your thumbnail.
It's very simple.
One side of the staple and lift the other side of the staple. Then you get that very enjoyable thing of sliding the staple out.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Disposing of it carefully because you don't want to get that caught anywhere.
Nope.
And then you've got those little holes
that
are now useless. Fantastic. So your basic wonderful, really, Cornelius, is stationary and... office equipment.
Yeah, or just lots of types of equipment. Another thing I've written down was kitchen tongs. Yes. I love kitchen tongs, yes. And I think they're severely underrated.
Yeah.
I think they're excellent. And they come into their own when you're cooking sausages.
Don't they?
How else could you do it?
Yeah,
because people are like, oh, you can use a spatula or fish slice. No. But no, you can't turn them with the sort of the preciseness and accuracy that you can with a lovely pair of kitchen tongs.
But they never stay where they, you know, in the line that you want them to stay in. They always roll.
No, they don't.
Because sausages, when you're cooking them in the pan, go slightly banana shaped.
Yeah.
Mm.
You end up with a sausage that's quite well cooked on two of its four sides.
This is what I'm talking about.
But you very difficult. You can get the outside, the longer side, and balance it against another sausage. But getting
it's a bit
being
of work,
sure that you've got the heat.
The inside arc.
Into the inside arc.
Yeah.
And then you've got to decide, I'm going to eat this anyway, despite what they worry you with about parasites and things. You know, you've just got to take a chance, haven't you?
Mm.
I tried to make a pork pie once, and I couldn't get the pork right. I had the pastry right, and I had a proper pork pie tin for it to go in. So I chickened out, and I got some sausages out of the fridge, and I emptied them from the case and forced them into the pastry casing and didn't cook them long enough.
Oh.
And because I'd been watching the rugby on television, I ate the pork pie out of the oven, and much of it was still raw.
Oh.
And so the consequences were what you'd expect.
Mm. That's not wonderful.
No, that is definitely not wonderful.
No, that's a very good
There's
point.
No
actually.
Place for that story in this
okay,
hour.
In that case, we'll edit that out for the podcast and we'll go straight to lollies.
As in lollipops?
Yeah, real ice lollies.
Oh, ice lollies. Oh, yeah.
Not
the
things on sticks.
No.
Yeah,
they get annoying after a while. No, yeah. Ice lollies. That's
real ice lollies are also on sticks, though.
They are.
So you're thinking of the small sort of confectionery.
I don't count them. The Kojak used to use them as a prop in his TV show. But no. I'm talking about ice lollies. And that moment, especially when you're a kid and you take off the paper thing, dispose of it thoughtfully, and then you just get that first suck, you know, on the top. Oh! And you've got the whole of the lolly to go.
Yeah.
And but yet you're already anticipating, how am I going to finish it off? Because the drips are going to start to come here.
Mm.
And you don't want lolly juice on your fingers.
No.
Unless you can get to a sink.
And invariably you can't.
No, invariably you can't. But then you lick your fingers, so...
Yeah, all's well in the world in the end.
I wonder if the girls, ladies, women, females working on the show have some thoughts on what's wonderful. Chloe?
I think sun cream is wonderful.
Isn't it?
The first hot day when you open sun cream and it's like, oh, you're all ready for the...
The smell.
Yeah, the smell. It just takes me back. Yeah.
And getting to rub it into your other half as well. It's wonderful, isn't it? It's so intimate and distracting. And no comment from
yeah, I
mean... I was talking about myself and the smell of it.
I know, I'm just saying.
The act.
I'm just saying, but it is a tremendously intimate thing to do, to be asked by your other half, could you just get my back?
True. It is an intimate request that, you know, you are honoured to be asked of, actually.
Yeah, I mean...
All considered.
And if you go away with a girlfriend on the first day round the pool, you do suntan each other and then both have the same thought, but then you've got to have a shower first.
Mm.
And then come back out afterwards, about a very obvious 20 minutes later, and do what? Put on more suntan.
Yeah.
So it could be, it's a vicious, but wonderful.
And exactly, a wonderful cycle.
Absolutely. How, do you know what the factor thing means?
I was told.
It's how strong it is, isn't it?
It is.
But also, I was told that the higher the number, that's the number basically corresponded to how long it was effective for.
Something like that. So if you've got factor 14, then... Somehow or other, the number 14 is of significance in how much protection you're getting.
Yeah.
But rather like with units to alcohol, we don't know what it is. And nor does Chloe, even though what she thinks is wonderful is sun.
I thought it was multiples of how your skin's natural tolerance to sun is. So factor 15 is 15
times. That sounds
times
scientific.
As long as your actual natural skin can cope.
Wow. I really like that information, having just learnt it.
But thank you for the thought of, and the smell of suntan oil. It's the wonderful hour. It's Tommy Boyd in for John Holmes. You're tuned to Talk Radio.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Talk Radio. For those about to talk, we salute you.
My thing, my abs. They're big on Instagram. Well, they were until I dropped a dumbbell on my phone.
Anyway, I need a replacement. 12 megapixel camera for maximum muscle definition. But my budget is lower than my body fat ratio. So, you know what? It's got to be refurb.
Russell's thing. It's clearly a refurbished smartphone from eBay. That's as good as new with 12-month seller warranty. Buy refurbished tech on eBay and save up to 50% versus new. eBay. Find your thing.
Hey, I'm Lee Reedy. This song's about Oasis drinks.
I'm selling notes, singing this song. Your liquid loving stops a feeling wrong. I sold my soul to the marketing team. But the money's good and the Oasis drinks are free. Oasis, it's hashtag refreshing stuff. Oasis, buy a bottle cause it's just ain't enough.
All by myself. Don't wanna be.
I'm back, Mr. Alexander!
Back? What? Didn't even know you'd gone. Movies are better with two, which is why only CompareTheMarket.com customers get 2-for-1 cinema tickets with Meerkat Movies.
Qualifying purchase required. Tuesdays or Wednesdays, participating cinemas. Standard tickets only, cheapest ticket free. One membership for 12 months, conditions apply.
Talk Radio, traffic and travel.
In West Yorkshire, we're seeing very slow traffic due to an earlier accident. That's on the M62 westbound at junction 24. In South Yorkshire, slow traffic due to an earlier broken down lorry. That's on the M1 southbound between junction 33 and junction 32. In Sandbach, the A533 Middlewich Road is closed. That's in both directions. Slow traffic there due to emergency repairs between Park Lane and Old Mill Road. And in Worcestershire, we are seeing queue traffic, long delays due to an earlier accident on the M5. That's northbound between junction 8 and junction 7 with congestion back to junction 10. I'm Sammy Jo Lowe.
Being an All Black is in their blood. Being a Lion is in ours. The Lions Tour, live only on Sky Sports. To upgrade, search Sky Sports Summer.
Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
In the greatest comeback since Bobby Ewing showed up in Pam's shower.
Hello, I'm James Whale.
The mighty James Whale is back.
You know the one.
The voice of reason returns to Talk Radio.
Unfiltered comment, scorched earth debate, and an ill-advised leather Stetson.
Are you making some kind of joke?
You look ridiculous. Take it off.
Get in the ring with the legendary James Whale.
Are you ready, man?
The dome-headed sage of speech radio returns to the airwaves for 3 hours of essential national night talk. Cometh the hour, cometh the whale. The James Whale Show, tonight from 7 on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Tommy Boyd.
Tommy Boyd on Talk Radio.
Yasmin Khan is here at 4. Until then, we've got the Wonderful Hour, and running alongside that, a couple of what we call strands. One is Scarlett's how-to feature, which we'll get to right now, and also why can't young people write anymore? And I can tell you that they can't, because the young people who are working on this show occasionally handwrite me notes. And it looks
Here we go again.
They've written them on a moving train. It's impossible to understand what on earth it is they've written. So my writing's not an awful lot better.
I do one thing wrong.
He goes on and on about it. Scarlett, what's your how-to today?
So my how-to fits in with this Wonderful Hour, because there is nothing, in my eyes, more wonderful than a perfect cup of tea. Not just any cup of tea, but that cup of tea where you take a sip and think, this is a good one. And then you finish it and think, I could just drink that all over again. So I am doing that today. There's lots of disagreements about it. Like, one of my friends puts the milk in first, which I think is really weird. And I've got someone else who will pour the water and then put the tea bag in, which I also think is really, really weird. But I've cross-examined many websites, blogs and culinary specialists to find out the ultimate how to make a perfect cup of tea.
You realise Karen Ellis and I aren't culinary specialists?
That's absolutely fine.
Just checking.
I actually started off with number one, you've actually used to, you need to use clean, fresh water every single time you fill your kettle. You cannot use the same kind of water. And it's because it makes your tea flat. So if your tea ever tastes flat, it's actually the water. You need to let oxygen get to it. So the second one is once you've boiled it, you've got to actually let that cool for 1 to 2 minutes. And this is because that if you pour it straight on the tea bag, you actually burn your tea. And nobody wants burnt tea. So you've got to leave that a little bit. Number three, and this is the really difficult bit where people get confused, you have to put the tea bag in first. And there is a reason for this why you can't put the milk in. It's because you have to let the tea brew. And if you put the milk in first, that disrupts that brewing period. So you've already milked it. You have to brew it first and then milk it. If you have milk, you might not have milk. You have to leave it to brew. The actual brewing exact time is 3 minutes and 23 seconds.
Wow. It's how long?
3 minutes and 23 seconds to leave to brew perfectly. Otherwise, just leave it to 3 to 4 minutes if you haven't got a stopwatch handy.
That can I just contaminate that figure slightly? I have a dear old friend who always warms the cup up first before putting the tea bag in. And my guess is that that
accelerates.
Time could be a little bit shorter if the tea water is being assisted in holding onto its warmth by that particular mechanism.
Not just that, but some people like a weak tea. Like my nan likes her tea weak, and some people like a really, really strong tea, so they might leave it longer. So it is up to debate, but the exact perfect time, if you just want an average, normal, good cup of tea, is 3 minutes and 23 seconds.
Brilliant.
And then the last stage is just you can accessorize it in any way you wish with sugar, honey, or anything else.
Superb. How close to the top do you like of the cup or mug do you like your tea to be?
So I can walk around the house and not spill it.
That's a good answer. But I like it to be quite close to the top because that feels generous, really.
Depends on how big your cup is. If you've got a really, really big cup,
yes.
Then I guess it doesn't really matter where it is.
And saucers? Are you anywhere on the cup, mug or versus cup and saucer argument?
My mum bought me the cutest little cups and saucers, a little set of two. And I've also got, it's like a teapot, but it sits in a cup and it warms the cup up for you while the tea is brewing, so you can then pour it straight in.
Oh,
and
yeah,
I love
yeah, I've seen those.
I love it.
Superb. The great thing about the saucer is that people used to pour some of their tea into the saucer because then you could blow on it and you could drink it more quickly. Because one of my things about cups of tea is I like to drink it at a specific temperature, but I'm never able to find out exactly what that is. So I have to keep testing it. Ooh, still too hot.
And then it's cold.
Ooh, still too hot. And then I've got to get the exact moment because I like to glug my tea like it's the half of lager that they drink in Ice Cold in Alex. I like to go... like that. That's how I like to drink my tea. Are you a sipper? I'm guessing you're a sipper, Scarlett.
I am a sipper. Not just that, but I actually... It is a rule that I can't finish my tea. I never can.
No.
Because I like that temperature as well, and I find it, and I can sit there, and I can drink it, and I enjoy it. But I get halfway through, and then it's not the tea I wanted anymore, so I can't finish it.
And if I'm working at home in the kitchen doing some paperwork, I just like to have a cup of tea at my elbow. I very rarely drink it. It just goes cold.
It's great just to hold it and keep you warm as well.
Yeah, exactly.
But you know what it is? It's wonderful.
It's wonderful. Thank you very much indeed, Scarlett. No, don't have to disappear. We're celebrating what's wonderful. Boys, have you got any more what's wonderfuls?
I have one, actually.
Go on there, boy.
The smell of freshly cut grass.
Oh, God, yeah. Now, that's a top 10 wonderful, that is.
Oh, it's top 5, I'd argue.
Top 5.
Like, I'm a country boy, so like this is even closer to my heart than, you know, the average person. You just can't be that succulent, delicious waft of air that comes through just after you've cut the lawn or the lawn has been cut near you, or it just, you could eat it up. You could actually eat it up.
Getting into a very, very hot car that's been parked in the sun for too long.
Really?
Yeah.
You like that? I like that. Yeah, I do.
Oh, no.
I like the whole thing.
No, it's too hot.
Yeah, no, that's what I like.
No.
For a whole bunch of reasons. One, because then you can drive off and have all the windows down and nobody can complain in the back about being cold.
Good point. Okay, so there's a long-term...
Yeah. It's thought through. And also, you know the new car smell, which I don't know because I've never bought a new car. I like second-hand cars. But I think the closest I can ever get to the new car smell is the smell that you get when you get into a hot car. Unless, of course, you know, somebody spilt milk in it 2 days before, which happened to me once.
Sorry about that.
Oh. Couldn't get rid of the smell from the carpet for weeks and weeks.
Yeah, we had that with the family car in the 90s, and it was horrible.
Really, really grotesque smell.
Yeah, we were bringing a puppy to my aunt and when we were kids, and the puppy got a little bit travel sick.
Oh, dear.
At the start of a two-hour drive.
Oh!
In the middle of July.
No.
Ooh.
On a Sunday.
I love how the story just progressed worse and worse.
Well, staying with dogs, I tell you what's wonderful, is a dog's welcome.
You go
up the corner shop to buy a pint of milk and you come back 12 minutes later and the dog thinks you've come back from the war.
Yeah.
You know, he jumps up, he's back, rushes down the hall and into the kitchen, rushes into the front room, gets on the sofa, barks at an imaginary postman, he's back, he'd come back. I knew he would and he has. Oh, the heaven. Is heaven and hell are in there. Oh, you're back. On and on and on it goes. And it never fails to make me feel happy.
Yeah.
So what makes you... What's wonderful, Scarlett?
Just saying earlier, it absolutely poured down a second ago here in London. Like, really, really pouring. And I was actually thinking to myself, I'm really hoping it stops when I leave because I love the smell of when it's just after it's rained. Or sometimes in August when it's really, really hot and you know it's going to rain and you can smell that before rain smell. And, like, my friends take the absolute mick out of me for it because I love it, but I go, oh, it smells really good. It's going to rain. I'm ready.
Getting wet is quite good when it rains. Yeah. Once you're wet, you're wet.
If you embrace it. Yeah. That's the trick. Like,
once you're
music
wet, you're wet. If it's warm rain. Yeah, if it's warm enough.
Yeah.
I love it during football games. I love just not a heavy rain.
No.
But just even like
cathartic baptism of the players.
And it comes like 20 minutes into the game.
Yeah.
Sweet spot.
It is, isn't it?
It's all right though, especially when you've got shoes that aren't going to get all squidgy.
Yeah.
You need to wear proper shoes and you can't wear jeans because when they get stuck to you and it rains, if it's going to rain, I never wear jeans.
Yep.
I'm always prepared.
Hey, what do you wear if you don't wear jeans?
Just normal trousers. You can wear trousers that aren't jeans.
I don't believe
Exhibit
that.
A. Oh,
fair play.
My old dad. Because he went back to before there were baths in the house.
Oh, yeah.
And whenever it really rained, he put on his swimming trunks. And in those days, all he ever had was Speedos. There were no shorts.
Yeah.
He put on his swimming trunks and he'd go and stand in the garden with a bar of Carbolic. Now, he had a shower, but he said it's not the same. I don't recommend that you try it, though. Because just because like father, like son, I thought I'd better give this a go. So one day it was pouring with rain and I put on a pair of not Speedos and went out and did it with a bar of soap. But I couldn't get a lather up because I don't know if the water was too pure or it was too cold or something like that. That's a nice one, Scarlett. I'll tell you guys what's wonderful. And I know you know a little bit about football, so I know you'll agree with me on this. I'll tell you who's wonderful, and that is a guy called Zlatan Ibrahimovic.
I like him.
I wish I was him.
Yeah.
I mean, this guy has got
football ability, a haircut.
He's got class. He's got style.
Yep.
And he's an athlete. And he's got charisma. He's got real
buckets.
Charisma.
In
some people
buckets.
Pretend they've got charisma. But Zlatan is just oozes.
He just walks into a room and you can just tell.
He got Manchester United into the Champions League, I would argue, on the basis of charisma.
Yeah, alone.
He made everybody think, oh God, Manchester United are coming. They're back to what they used to be. They've got some guy who glows in the dark playing for them. And you know that he does, don't you?
You absolutely do.
When he got married, he gave his wife a birthday present. I believe it was a Ferrari, a mink coat. And, no, it's the other way around. Sorry. The punchline anyway is, they said to him, what did she get? And he said, she got Zlatan. She'd given him a bunch of presents, but he didn't give her anything because she was getting him. I just think the guy is fantastic. And it strikes me as well, and this is the other thing, I think he's got a heart of gold.
I think so too.
And I like it when somebody is earning more, you know, in sitting on the toilet for 10 minutes than most of us earn in a year.
Lifetime, I'd say.
That you don't resent them for it. Let's take a call, shall we? Let's have a look. It's Julia, who's calling from East Grinstead. Hello.
Hello. Hello, Tommy.
Hello.
How are you having a nice day?
Fantastic day, thank you. How about you?
I'm having a wonderful day. I was just listening to you saying how wonderful dogs are. And have you ever given a very hot dog an ice cube?
No. What happened?
I've seen this happen before. They love it.
Wonderful. Aww. We've just taken our new dog out for a walk in the woods and he's got very hot. So we've fed him an ice cube and it's wonderful.
Was that his first ice cube then? Fitting.
It was his first ice cube that he's paid any attention to.
Okay, what do they do with it? Do they suck it or do they...
They lick it and then they look surprised and then they lick it some more and then they realise that they can crunch it and then it sort of skates away from them so they crunch it some more. It's if you put it in their water bowl,
they don't understand cold, do they? They don't understand temperatures, or at least not... You know, objectively, they can tell that it's a sensation.
It's a greyhound, and they're really susceptible to heat.
Oh, right. So. Is this a little greyhound that you've got, or have you rescued one?
He is a rescue ex-racer. He is called Hashtag, and he is 2.5 years old.
Good for you.
And he was a very fast runner, but also very good at falling over. He won 4 races, I think.
Really? As Hashtag...
No, his slave name was Trap in Front. I don't mean that. His racing name was Trap in Front. And
I heard what you said. I heard what you said, and you got it in, and well done.
But I also had an imaginary dog called Hashtag, so the name went to the dog, and it suits him. Although I do sound ridiculous in the park. Hashtag, come here.
Don't worry, I had some members of our family had a black Labrador and they went one much worse than Hashtag. This was in the 50s. Yeah, that one. Genuinely.
Yeah, that's my grandma does that with little Scotty dogs, you know, the black Scotty dogs.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll just have to explain to the boys, I don't know if you caught it, but what Julia said was that the greyhound's slave name was something else, based on what his... calling was before
I'm
he
with
found
you.
Julia.
I'm with you.
Well, thank you for that, Julia. That's a lovely set of images you built there. What with you out in the woods with Hashtag and then the ice cube.
Yep, that's wonderful. And that's what you're all about.
Thank you, mate. Thanks a lot. Okay, well, that's just about it for the wonderful hour. I've got a couple of things just to chuck out that I didn't quite get round to. In fact, I won't get round to them. Well, one being what I'm going to do tomorrow morning, which is a full English breakfast with smoked bacon. Smoked bacon.
Yep.
Always. Yeah.
And a mug of tea. And here's the twist, with a twist of pepper.
Pepper?
Just try it. After salty bacon, when you're feeling very, very thirsty, the twist of pepper in that mug of tea to wash it all down, it just, you know, like it completely squares the circle. Yasmin Khan is with us from 4 onwards.
Hello.
But has dropped in, and I know it can be annoying when you're focusing on your show to come and talk to airheads like me who have been doing things like The Wonderful Hour, because you're going to bring us up to date with the important things that are happening in the world. On the other hand, you're allowed to say what's wonderful if you want to.
I was going to say, it's not annoying, it's a privilege. Hello.
Aww.
Nice to meet you.
That's kind of you. Nice to meet you
as
well.
I would say the word legend, but I'd want to say...
I know, that's because they
I don't want to be a crawler.
No, 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 it's because everyone thought I was dead.
Oh, is that what it is?
It's the Elvis Presley thing.
Reports of your demise have been...
Well, apparently not.
Well, you're looking well on it.
Oh, thank you very much indeed, and so are you.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah, should we get on the pub?
Let's just leave these guys
to me. Yeah, great. Yeah.
Before I go on, I very much enjoyed the Abbott and Costello sketch that you guys did the other day.
Didn't
brilliant
these guys
stuff.
Do it well? Thank you for that, Yasmin.
Was that a cold read?
Yeah.
We hadn't seen it at all.
Yeah, he kept it from us.
They did a great job.
The pronunciation's almost caught me once or twice, but we pulled through.
Thank you for that, Yasmin. You've got a packed...
We really have got a really busy show today. I'm quite excited as well. Lots of good stuff. Before we get to the art stuff that we're doing today, because I always do that on a Friday, of course we're going to talk through the news. The whole climate deal. I want to understand, why is it important? What repercussions does it have for the US to have pulled out? How easy is it to do that? You can't just say, OK, we're not taking part in this and that's it, game over. I believe it will take some time, so we'll get our heads around that. We've got Kieran Paul, comedian, joining us for the Trending Review. And you know, it's one of those days where there's all kinds of brilliant random stories in the news, so Trending Review will be awesome. We're going to be talking about why, sadly, reading for pleasure seems to have taken a downturn, taken a decline. I'm joined by the author Michael Rosen. Very excited about that. For fans of indie pop everywhere, I'm so excited. I fangirled all over the place. St. Etienne joined me earlier on to be able to hear my chat with them. Wow. Yeah. I love a good expression there.
Now, come on, guys. That's what I call a show.
Yeah, you've got Tim Westwood as well.
And we have just building up to Tim Westwood.
The big dog.
The big dog is joining me for music review that is going to be quite different today.
Has he got an air horn? Can we set that up?
There'll be some sort of klaxon. We're also going to be talking about rom-coms and what the new twist. Is it new? I don't know. New twist on them is. And we're going to be talking about a new play that's out as well. Just loads, basically. But
it
look,
really
St. Etienne,
like
Tim Westwood, what more do you want? I get to hand over to you.
A saturation of pleasure, Yasmin. Thank you so much. Look forward to it. This has been Tommy Boyd in for John Holmes. Looking forward to seeing you on Monday, it turns out. This is Talk Radio.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Join the conversation party. Countdown to the election on Talk Radio.